All right, it is 6 o'clock. I will call the meeting to order, and if you are here, please log in on the computer. We have 30 board members present. That is a quorum. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, first we have is the chair's report. So, Chair Johnson, would you take the chair first?
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. First thing that I have is the appointment of a person to fill the unexpired term for the 5th District, presently held by Brad Conkle. Brad is transferring to Platteville and will be leaving us at the end of May. And so as not to have a gap there, we did applications and interviewed a couple folks for the 5th District. And I'm pleased to offer the appointment of Karen Johnson as the person to fill that. Karen is here. Coincidentally, she happened to be a student of mine in class this last semester, which actually had nothing to do with her getting the appointment. No, really, it didn't. She is a very impressive young lady. She has, I don't know after this semester she still has a 4.0, but she did, okay, fingers crossed. She was just a great student in class, but more significantly for purposes of this position, she has a great resume and she had a great interview. I always am impressed when students apply for the 5th District and we go through those interviews. And I am impressed with pretty much everybody that applies, but when the students do, they are so savvy these days in terms of going to our website, for example, and doing research so that when you ask them questions, they know what they're talking about. And Karen did that. And the interview team that helped me with this, that was one of the things we remarked about after the interviews was done, is just how well prepared she was. And if she is that thorough and that well prepared for our meetings during the remainder of this term, she's going to be a very fantastic County Board Supervisor. So it is my pleasure to I always like to do these for approval of the board, even though I guess it's not required. But I would move that we appoint Karen Johnson to the 5th District.
It's been moved by Chairman Doyle, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion on the appointment of Karen Johnson to the 5th District. Sharon Hampson.
Just to say that she's going to be a great board member, and I'd like to thank Brad for his term.
Absolutely.
I think he's really put heart and soul into it, mm-hmm. and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the appointment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The appointment is carried unanimously. So the appointment will become effective June 1st.
Yep.
Just so nobody thinks we have two District 5 representatives
simultaneously. Brad may still show up tonight. He's not done yet. His resignation was effective May 31st, so she can yell at us from the cheap seats over there, but she actually can't vote yet. Next item on my report is a reminder to attend committee meetings if you request a resolution to be drafted. Occasionally we have it happen where a person has had a resolution especially come to executive committee and it gets before us and we have a lot of questions. And so if you have something that you would like to be considered by whatever committee, please be there for that so that the members can ask you whatever questions that they may have. Next thing we have is Western Wisconsin CARES report. We held this over from the other day. Tara Johnson's going to give that.
Well, I'm actually given the length of the agenda, and at the risk of breaking a few hearts of people who really wanted to hear it, I think I'm going to forego again just because we have so much else to cover.
Anybody have any objection to not listening to Tara drone on tonight about... not hearing this report? I'm sorry. Hearing none. Thank you, Tara. Supervisor conference reports. Anybody else want to drone on tonight about something that you did? Not that I want to, set the stage here for anything. Marilyn Pedretti.
I won't drone, but I'll give congratulations. At the Joint Council of Extension Professionals Conference, the UW Extension agents, there were three of them that got awards. Steve Hunsinger received the 2001 Achievement Award from the Wisconsin Association of County Agriculture Agents. Robert Matzik was recognized for 25 years of service by the Wisconsin Extension Association 4-H Youth Development Professionals. And Mary Meehan Strube received the Administrative Leadership Award from the Wisconsin chapter of Epsilon Sigma Phi. Congratulations to our three UW.
Great to all of them. Bill Feehan, did I see your hand up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a conference report, but I just wanted to report on the progress that we're making in working with Senator Kopanky to protect the jobs of our local income maintenance workers. And I spoke to Dan's chief of staff on Tuesday, and it appears that the proposal that Administrator O'Malley and I'm drawing a blank on the Jason Witt, thank you. Something very similar to that is moving ahead, and so I think that's positive. It looks like we're probably going to get something very close to what we're asking for.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Feehan. Anybody else have any reports? Arlene Benrod.
Thank you, Chair. I had a Wisconsin County Highway Association meeting last week, and we're planning our 100th anniversary in the Dells in June. Also, I rode up with our Highway Commissioner, Ron Chamberlain, so I'm saving the county even more money. I don't have to go up to Toma and hitch a ride. Thank you. I kept this short.
Thank you, Arlene. Any other reports? Okay, seeing none, that gets us to the Administrator's Report. Mr. O'Malley.
Okay, I've got a few items. First is a proclamation from the Aging Long-Term Care Committee on Older Americans Connecting the Community. Whereas the older adults in La Crosse County are the roots from which our community grows, who bestow the gifts of wisdom and insight upon younger generations and strengthen the bonds between neighbors to create a better place to live. And whereas more than 20,000 county residents over 60 years old are diverse, respected people who should be commended for their contribution to our nation's social and economic well-being. Now, therefore, be it resolved, La Crosse County Board, on behalf of the residents of La Crosse County, does hereby proclaim May 2011 to be Older Americans Month, and does further proclaim May 17th as Older Americans Day in La Crosse County, and urge all citizens to honor older adults during May and throughout the year.
Moved by Margaret Wood. Is there a second? Seconded by Vicki Burke. Thirded by Don Meyer. Any discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Next. Go ahead.
Actually, I have a few additional items, but for the recognition of supervisors, I'd ask if Tara Johnson would come forward and handle this for us. There are three supervisors being recognized for years of service, and from the podium, I would ask Tara to do this.
Good evening. Anybody know what year Ralph Geary joined the Board of Supervisors, other than Ralph Geary? No, not 1935. Geary, what year did Ralph Geary join the board? 1975. Does that sound right, Ralph? 76. Come on up here, Ralph Geary, please.
Wow.
We want to recognize you for 35 years of dedicated service to the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Ralph Geary.
Thank you, and I know with our budget crisis, we got to stop giving out these awards because I'm getting too many of them.
Anybody know what year Roger Plesha joined the County Board of Supervisors? Anybody other than Roger? No, it was not 1929. It was 10 years after Ralph Geary. Does that sound right to you, Roger? So 1986.
Correct.
So we recognize with great appreciation Roger Plesha for 25 years of dedicated service to the La Crosse County Board. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Would you like to?
Well, thanks, everybody. You listened to me, but tonight you won't have to. Thank you.
And I think the reason that I'm doing this is because of this third plaque. Second County Board Supervisor who's being recognized for 25 years of dedicated service to the La Crosse County Board, also elected for the first time in 1986, Chairman Steve Doyle. Congratulations.
I guess that means it is true. I am a career politician, so.
And thank you. Actually, I need Arlene Benrud to join me up here, please, because we have one additional recognition for you, Chairman Doyle. You sound so surprised. For me? In this room, we will always refer to you as Chairman Doyle, but you've earned yet another title, and Arlene is here to present you with some more recognition.
Steve, congratulations and much luck in the assembly.
Well, thank you, Arlene.
I hope the class is around so other people see it.
Okay, that
thank
sounds
you.
Good. Thank you very much. Easy come, easy go. I just have a little bit of a concern when you look at the agenda here. The recognition for supervisors for years of service seems to be a subcategory of Older Americans Month, and I kind of resent that. Or resemble that to, yes. All right, keep going, Mr. O'Malley.
Okay, just a reminder, Wisconsin County's resolution deadline is coming up June 27th. Mr. Brockmiller, we will have a legislative committee meeting in June. If you have items as supervisors that would like to submit and have us work on in relation to the Wisconsin County's platform, the deadline is June 27th. Please give us enough advance notice so we can work on that. I know a number of you have been engaged in that before. Also, there's a call for requests to the NACO steering committees that are available. It can be a very demanding task, and they ask you to attend some of the national conferences, which are difficult to do unless you're part of a national association that's actually able to pay for expenses, because each county has to pay their own expenses. If you are interested, I can provide you for more information, and we'd provide that through the executive committee and the board chair. So those are two general announcements, as well as then the last item listed here is the Green Tier presentation. The DNR secretary will be here for two items happening at the same time on June 1st at 1 o'clock at the landfill site, actually at the shop up on the hill. We'll be receiving Green Tier presentation from the DNR, one of the first in the state to receive that designation. A little bit is in your packet. I won't go into what all that means, but if you're interested, please attend. And then it will also be the ceremonial groundbreaking for the gas to energy project. The last item that I have that I didn't end up listing, and I won't read the entire letter, but I think it's important to mention something that just happened recently that we did receive accolades from on behalf of our staff, and that was the recount that just occurred in this community. And I received a letter from one of the observers. Jenny didn't know I was going to do this, but I'll just quote a couple of things rather than read the entire letter. I spent several days as an observer at the Supreme Court election recount in La Crosse County. While doing so, I witnessed the epitome of competence, ethics, and diligent service by those involved in the recount. They were very thorough in trying to determine what the actual count should be for every reporting unit in the county. Once, with no explanation was apparent for a change in the original canvas, the ballots were recounted a third time. The county clerk, Jenny Dankmeyer, was careful to assure that all observers understood what was transpiring and answered all questions, as did the other members of the canvas board. To illustrate the excellent job done by La Crosse County as compared to other counties, after I submitted an oral report to the campaign I was observing for, observers came from Madison to see how recounts should be done before going to the problematic counties. All the people involved in the county's recount did a very fine job. La Crosse County can be deservedly proud of these public servants. I abbreviated that letter, by the way. There was a bit more detail. So I just think we should give a round of applause to Jimmy. That's the conclusion of my report, Mr.
All right. And I don't think anybody is at all surprised. We knew that they'd be doing a good job, so thank you, Jenny. Okay, cards and correspondence would normally be on the board, but there are maps on the board, so I have no idea where cards and correspondence are tonight, so we'll get to those to you next month. And there are no committee meetings during recess. That gets us to the next round of appointments.
Chairman Doyle.
Thank you. I have three appointments as listed on the agenda. Lauren Kannenberg, re-upping on Health and Human Services. Sharon Hampson to replace Brad Conkle on Sustainable Lacrosse Commission. And reappoint Steve Motter to the Ethics Board as first alternate.
Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Meyer. Discussion on those three appointments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Those appointments are confirmed.
Thank you. There's a motion to approve the consent agenda by Mr. Plesha, second by Mr. Sobranek. Any questions or comments on the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. And that gets us to what I would ask is unanimous consent to move to the sign ordinance because, or the sign moratorium proposal, because we have a lot of people here on that. Which number is that? Am I just missing it? 518. Oh, there it is. Okay. Any objection to moving to that so we can cover that first while folks are here? Okay. Without objection, Planning, Resource, and Development, Marilyn Pedretti, can you handle that one?
Gladly. Resolution to the Honorable Members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors to approve a temporary moratorium on certain types of outdoor advertising. Whereas La Crosse County is a beautiful county of rivers, lakes, marshes, bluffs, hills, and prairies with cities, villages, and towns whose residents and businesses have made significant financial and other investments in their homes, businesses, institutions, infrastructure, and natural resources. And whereas La Crosse County is committed to utilizing available tools and resources to promote the preservation and improvement of the health, welfare, and public safety of the citizens of La Crosse County. And whereas La Crosse County is committed to protecting the health and welfare of its citizens through the regulation of outdoor advertising and preventing driving distractions, visual clutter, and other harmful effects of improperly or poorly regulated signs, including off-premises signs, billboards, and on-premises signs. Whereas WSDOT currently has some 267 outdoor advertising signs in the inventory of La Crosse County, with about 100 within the jurisdiction of La Crosse County. And whereas once a billboard or CEVMS is erected, it cannot be ordered to be reduced in size, height, or illumination, moved on that parcel or to another parcel, or removed entirely without just compensation. Whereas during the comprehensive plan process in 2006, a random survey was sent to the residents of the county with an above average rate of return and response, with results that respondents were not in favor of new billboards along highways or altering community character. And whereas La Crosse County Board adopted a comprehensive plan on March 20th, 2008 that called for updating the zoning ordinance with sign regulations. And whereas La Crosse County Board believes it is in the best interest of the citizens of La Crosse County to provide for reasonable, proper, and balanced regulations and controls of outdoor advertising, including billboards, CEVMS, and all other sign adjacent to all public streets, roads, and highways. And whereas La Crosse County Board intends to undertake a comprehensive review and revision of the portions of the county's regulation and control of outdoor advertising, including billboards, CEVMS, and all other sign adjacent to public streets, roads, and highways, in conjunction with its planning department, legal counsel, and the public. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby place a temporary moratorium on the erection and maintenance of any new billboards and CEVMS within the unincorporated areas of La Crosse County, including the conversion of existing billboards to electronic variable message boards, for 6 months or until the approval of a revised regulation and controls on outdoor advertising via a sign ordinance or sign standards in a zoning ordinance, whichever occurs first. Any person, corporation, or entity that violates the conditions of this moratorium shall be subject to a forfeiture of $500 a day plus costs of removal. Be it further resolved that this resolution and temporary moratorium shall become effective upon its passage and publication. Fiscal note, the Zoning, Planning, and Land Information Department indicates it is difficult to estimate the amount of administration and enforcement costs for the moratorium on billboards. I move its approval.
Moved by Marilyn Pedretti, second by Maureen Friedland. Discussion. Maureen Friedland.
Thank you, fellow board members. I have proposed the moratorium of 6 months duration to allow adequate time to provide for input from all interested parties in this matter. If the people who are here to hear this matter could raise their hands just briefly, I think that would be in order. No comments, but okay, thank you. At the Planning Resources and Development meeting on May 2nd, citizens and another county board member testified regarding their concerns about the proliferation of billboards in this community, and particularly their alarm at rumors about converting existing billboards on state highways to electronic LED-type billboards without their notification, including any notification at all to adjoining neighbors, neighborhood groups, the supervisor of the area, or the town of Madary. This PRD committee meeting was appropriately announced through public notice. The agenda item of a moratorium was clearly identified. The urgency of this situation was clear at the PRD committee and continues to be clear, as sign companies have recently installed a series of new electronic signs ranging from small to large, and they are starting to line the thoroughfares of our communities and neighborhoods that have not already enacted regulations to meet the new electronic technologies. With that in mind, and in order to allow an orderly series of meetings through the summer months to develop a reasonable sign ordinance for applicable parts of the county through our zoning, planning, and land use department, the PRD committee voted unanimously to endorse a six-month moratorium on such activity. The place where all sign companies will have an opportunity to weigh in will be during the upcoming summer months, according to the schedule already established by the Zoning, Planning, and Land Use Department and presented to the PRD in April 2011 without objection. The moratorium is simply a timeout, or perhaps a better term might be a ceasefire, allowing all interested parties to come together during a six-month period to have a conversation about whether we want to limit or control outdoor advertising signs. It is not even clear at this point if we will choose to tackle this issue at all, and certainly no decisions have been made whatsoever about what kinds of signs and where they may or may not be. That comes later. This is a two-step process. But since legally it is almost impossible to get billboards removed once they are in place, billboards are effectively forever. There are and have been outdoor sign moratoriums all over the country, in other counties in Wisconsin, and even in the towns of Shelby and Holland in La Crosse County to begin the process of developing regulations. A moratorium is not binding legislation. It is not even policy. It prevents a rush to add, change, or convert existing signs while we consider new county sign rules. Without some rules, including rules about notification of neighbors, we give billboard companies an unfair advantage. So during this proposed moratorium, we shall need to address the issue of notification of all affected parties to regarding sign changes. I do hope that that will be part of our new outdoor sign ordinance if we choose to have one. The billboard company that installed the sign on the Monaghan overpass also did not notify the neighbors when they erected the original billboard in 2007. The neighbors looked out of their windows one morning in June of 2007, and there it was. You will hear arguments tonight that we should delay a moratorium and refer this to committee again for additional input. I have asked through another county board supervisor for a commitment for a 30-day delay in his plans as we begin discussion of this issue. I am pleased that he has provided this statement that you may have received around noon in your email. Hopefully, this will be indicative of good faith from Olympus Media that can lead to productive development of sign ordinances during the proposed upcoming moratorium. I am glad that he concurs that a timeout is in order, and the only question should be whether a 30-day or a six-month period is needed now. Even with Mr. Carson's letter, however, the need for a six-month moratorium is still very apparent. We do not have a binding agreement from Olympus to formalize this goodwill gesture. We do not have binding agreements with other sign companies in our area. There is nothing to prevent another on-premise digital electronic sign like the one adjacent to I-90 in the town of Bangor. Olympus has, in fact, informed the state that they also plan to convert another billboard to electronic immediately south of Edwards storage units. And while Mr. Carson has indicated he won't do this in the next 30 days, anything past that is uncertain. And I will point out that no application process is now needed from the state or the county for him to do so. My own research on proposed billboard regulations makes it clear that often there is a rush to development by billboard companies or a delay in the onset of regulations as billboard companies consider their vested interests rather than the balanced need of all of a community, including economic attractability and business interests as a whole. If we spend the next month or months talking about whether we will have a moratorium, we will lose valuable time and focus. This can only be avoided by an immediate moratorium. Allowing 30 days or additional delays for discussion can be risky business. It would be unfair to the citizens we represent. The regulations we may ultimately pass are not for us alone, or even for the many people in the audience from all parts of the county who have come to listen to this discussion, or the 29 people from around La Crosse who showed up to a private meeting last week called by concerned neighbors and others in La Crosse, in the La Crosse area, on short notice of only a few days. This is not about Olympus Sign Company based in Atlanta, Georgia, any more than it is about local Collins Sign Company, which is no longer a local entity. We also in this board will be replaced by others. This is about the future of a scenic, economically thriving La Crosse County for our children and our grandchildren. Thank you for your continued support as we move ahead.
Further discussion? Ralph Geary.
Jeff here, could he answer a few questions?
Jeff Blusky, can you come forward, please?
Just to the light. Currently, the state regulates these?
Yes, sir.
And could you give me the short version of what that is?
I've actually prepared a statement, if I could read that for everybody. It'll just take a few minutes, but I think you will all understand where we are. Jeff, this comes from Jared Turk. He's the sign manager for the Department of Transportation at our district office here in La Crosse. It is the Wisconsin DOT's intention to not accept permit applications for off-property signs along state-maintained highways for the duration of a moratorium. Applications will be returned to the applicant with an explanatory cover letter. Number two, should an applicant insist that their application be reviewed by the DOT, they will do so. When an application meets all Wisconsin Department of Transportation's requirements, a permit will be issued with the condition that the permit is not valid until the permit holder obtains a permit or other approval from the local authority. That would be us, whenever we amend our ordinance. Such permit is valid for 12 months. Good cause must be demonstrated for an extension. The county not completing their ordinance work in the expected time frame is not good cause. The department will notify the county when a state permit is issued and provide them with a copy of the permit. Those two sections were for a brand new sign. Number three, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation requests that the county keeps the regional office informed about the county's progress in revising their ordinance, and we have been. When it comes to converting an existing board to CEVMS, keep in mind that the Department of Transportation views such a change as a message change for which no permit is needed. We recommend that the sign owner inform us, the DOT, when such a change is proposed, but the sign owner is under no obligation to do so. Therefore, we may not know about a digital retrofit of an existing sign. The county will need to monitor this and enforce their moratorium if a digital conversion is made to an existing sign. And then I've just got some notes here about doing an inventory and stuff like that, but that's the short of it, Supervisor Geary.
Are other counties doing anything like this?
Our corporation council had requested some backup reference material, if you want to call that, and I think there was three other counties that had turned in something. I can't remember, but I think it was Burnett, Columbia, and maybe Portage County. Okay. But, yes, this is going on in other counties.
Okay. Are we putting somebody out of business? I mean, they can't do anything for till we finish, or what?
I would say no. The signs that are all out there that everybody sees, and if I go back to our, and I'll answer that question, but currently in our Chapter 17, your Chapter 17, which is our zoning ordinance, we regulate signs the same way as we do any accessory structure like a garage or a pool or a detached deck or a gazebo. We've got side yards and setbacks. So when we finished our comprehensive plan, there was some language in there that said we should take a look at maybe regulating signs. So in our homework in our department, we did a lot of comparable, same requests from other counties, but we asked other municipalities in La Crosse County, what are you doing for sign regulation? We incorporated that in there and almost doubled the size of our current zoning code. So in our discussion with the municipalities, they said, you're taking it too far. This is way too much. Can you kind of block it down? The sign companies have been participating in that progress, the ones that have wanted to. So getting back to your question then, are we taking anybody or taking any business away from anybody? No. If there's a moratorium, it wouldn't be for any new signs, plus the message portion. The portion that are just these three bullets that I just read from the Department of Transportation, that would force my staff to start regulating and finding out who was doing these retrofits and if a new sign was going in. The Department of Transportation indicated that they would inform us and the applicant that there's a moratorium and that they're not they can't put up the sign. But if they're pushed to give a permit, they will. But it's with the understanding that there's a county moratorium.
Tina Weers.
Thank you. I was part of the PR&D committee. Sorry, Jeff, this isn't questions for you. This is... not for you, but I was part of the PRD committee when this came and was surprised that the media company wasn't present at the meeting. But I also empathize with the fact that everything was done legally and notice was put out, but we had some passion, I guess, from certain supervisors to make extra calls to people on one side of the issue and not the other. So regardless of the fact, however you feel on billboards, on the issue of a moratorium, I don't feel like the process was done the best way it could have been because I don't think that the media company was notified. So I don't think that they had a chance to come and explain what this will cost, what the implications are to the other side. So I would like to offer an amendment. I think I do that now. Now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby place a temporary moratorium on the erection and maintenance of any new billboards and CEVMS within the unincorporated areas of La Crosse County, including the conversion of existing billboards to electronic variable message billboards for 1 month. Any person, corporation, or entity that violates the conditions of this moratorium shall be subject to a forfeiture of $500 a day plus costs of removal. And that, I think, would be sufficient
Is there a second? Second by Ray Ebert. Go ahead, Ms. Weers.
And I think that would be a good compromise. It allows everybody to come back to that PR&D meeting and have their fair shot at explaining why or why not they think that a moratorium should be placed. And the supervisor who... Supervisor Friedland is welcome to come back and offer another resolution for an extra 5 months to get the 6 months.
For clarification, your intention is that it would then expire at the next county board meeting. I mean, when we say 1 month, we're talking to the next county board meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Discussion on the amendment. Terry Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the on the amendment, the thinking is that it will change votes on committee. Is that right, Supervisor?
I don't think that's the thought at all. I think that we just need to be educated on both sides. When we're calling people to come in on one side of an issue, we should be calling them on the other side. And I don't feel like we got a full story. So no, not that it will change votes, but that we will get the full information.
But so a one-month moratorium, I'm trying to get at the effect of this amendment is what I'm confused about. So the intent is that it would change from a six-month moratorium to a one-month moratorium, and at that new meeting of the committee, when people who supposedly weren't there before will have the opportunity to speak or be heard.
Correct.
That then what will happen? That's what I'm not understanding.
It could change votes. It might not. But at least we'll feel like we got, you know, the process was better.
But your intent is that another resolution, this same resolution, will come back?
I think it probably will.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was what I was not understanding. And then, Mr. Blesky, do you know whether or not the sign company, I'm not remembering the name of the sign company, was notified of that meeting or knew that that was on the agenda of the PR&D committee meeting?
I don't think they knew that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, mm-hmm. We're on the amendment, so if you want to talk on the amendment, raise your hand. If you're talking on the underlying resolution, hold off for a minute. So next I have Vicki Burke, and then just want to clarify, Mr. Bina, you're on the amendment?
Yeah.
And then Mr. Burns on the amendment? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Vicki Burke is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am wondering if the intent is to send it back to the committee. Wouldn't it be better to have a motion to send it back to the committee and allow that discussion rather than to alter the resolution as it stands?
Can I interrupt you for a second, Ms. Weirs? Is that your intention that this will go back to the committee? Well, I have, see,
it would,
one
be,
person
a, it would be a new
yes
resolution,
no.
So it wouldn't be the same resolution.
Okay, so
it would have to be a new one brought by.
Okay, so is there an intent that the PRD committee will do something?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Burke, anything further?
It just seems to me a simpler way of handling it would be to send the entire resolution back to the committee and then allow discussion at that time related to the resolution. But I understand that the supervisor may make whatever suggestion, and that I can certainly offer that other motion later.
Okay. Mr. Bina.
I thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I didn't hear about this one-month extension until just before the meeting. I sat on the PRD committee, and we heard basically one side of whatever discussion we had here, and not knowing whether or not the advertising sign companies were informed or not, it didn't sound like they were, because I did get a call from one of the guys, and I suggested to him that he should contact the county on Friday of last week so that he could get a copy of the new revised ordinance, because we made some changes the day we had our meeting. And I told him if he got some problems, call me back, and he didn't call me back. Is it your intent then that you have a public hearing at our PRD meeting? Is that what you want?
Are you directing that question to Ms. Weirs?
At Mrs. Weirs, yeah. Because I suppose we could have a public hearing, but we'd have to start a meeting pretty early that morning, I would assume, and it could be possible. At least everybody would be heard about this. And I guess I probably am leaning with Mrs. Weirs right now. Okay.
Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the referral, Mr. Blesky, this amendment, I'm sorry. Do you, as a department head, do you usually contact interested on an issue like this, do you usually contact interested parties?
No, we don't.
Okay. You mentioned that the state primarily regulates signage, and this is not something that's been a function of your department?
If I could clarify that, maybe I wasn't real clear. Our current zoning ordinance, your Chapter 17, we regulate signs as structures, but we do not regulate anything along a state highway, a federal highway, or such as the interstate system. The Department of Transportation has always done that in this county.
Okay.
Even in our new proposal, we're indicating we are not going to regulate anything along a state, federal, or interstate highway. And that's where these type of billboards normally go. The county highways, the town roads normally see these because there's not that much traffic on a county road.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And so you, in your opinion, you are satisfied with how the state regulates signs? I mean, because you could do it yourself, but you just said that you wouldn't. This is not your intention. You do not want to get into the regulation business. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. And that's why we did not include any revisions to do the same in our proposed ordinance either.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
I guess I would like to speak in favor of Ms. Weir's referral amendment. Yeah, I think it's important to have all interested parties, especially when we have a local sign company or a firm that I guess should be, I think, part of, I think we should, it's a good public-private course of action to bring the private sector involved and get them involved in the decision, or at least give them input in the decision. Ultimately, as policymakers, we have the final say, but there's no reason why we can't have all interested parties provide input to this issue. Thank you.
I think it's important for the board to know what will or will not happen if this amendment passes, and I guess it's not up to Ms. Weirs. It's up to the chair of the committee, Mr. Meyer. If this amendment passes, what happens at the committee level, if anything? I mean, do you know? I mean, do you have any plans?
Obviously, I don't know, but as I was sitting here thinking, if we're going to have another public hearing, I'd like to have that on a Monday night when we have our normal public hearing.
Is that this coming Monday?
No.
No, okay.
No. I mean,
okay.
Rather than have it that afternoon, have it in the evening like we always do and have this be one of the items. After we've had our discussion at the meeting.
Okay.
And I had these same notes here and myself, public comments and public hearing. We got a little carried away on public comments, I think, and one-sided. Thank you.
Okay. Brad Conkle.
I don't want to speak entirely for Supervisor Weirs, but it was my understanding from what she had to say that her intention is to approve a moratorium for 1 month while taking time to reevaluate the resolution, which is perhaps why we wouldn't want to refer it back to committee. I agree with this amendment to the resolution. I think that, 6 months seemed like a long time, and I was really surprised that that's how long the moratorium was going to be in effect for. I don't know that we need a full 6 months to reevaluate what's going on with this. So I think that 1 month is a good amount of time.
Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. I think Mr. Carson has given his word that there wouldn't be anything started anyway for 30 days. So I'm going to speak in favor of Ms. Weir's proposal. Also, I think there's a lot of things that a lot of people don't know as far as regulations and everything go, what go along with this. What kind of a mandate are we going to be putting on ourselves if we take this on? We really don't like what the state gives us to do, so we're going to impose a mandate on us ourselves and do the state's work. So it's my opinion that we should at least give it 30 days and maybe people can find out what the ramifications are going to be. Thank you.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. This type of issue is something that we frequently deal with at the city. And it happens in relation to building permits, conditional use permits, all sorts of different things. And it always comes in as a rush. It must get done quickly. We have it because. And in this case, I heard Mr. Geary ask if we were putting somebody out of business. We're not putting anyone out of business. The business of the signs that are already there are they will continue to draw the income for the sign companies during the duration of the moratorium. We also know that it takes time for government bodies to work through processes. We do have our processes. I believe that the agendas are published on the internet, and my understanding is that in most cases, people who have interests in various pieces in relation to property rights generally scan the newspapers or check in on the internet to check on what the agendas are in relation to particular issues. The problem with attempting to only have a 1 month referral is that it does not give the county adequate time to truly assess the situation. And so I would just strongly encourage the council, the board members to not adopt this amendment and to adopt the original 6 month moratorium. Thank you.
Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is for Supervisor Weers. I'm just curious, has Olympus Media agreed to these to this 30 days?
Ms. Weers, can you respond?
This isn't an agreement. I just want to make it clear this isn't about billboards or anything. This is about the process. My reasoning for wanting the 30 days is because of I don't think the process was the best it could be, and this is a compromise where, you know what, we're still having the 30-day moratorium, so those emails that we were getting from people who are concerned about the billboards, you know, it's helping them, but it's also giving the other people a chance, not just the billboard company, but the businesses who have already purchased advertising space on there. So this has nothing to do with billboards versus not billboards. This is all about the process, and I don't think that it was the best process, and it wasn't the most open form of government. So that's what this my amendment is about. It's not billboard versus not.
Okay. Well, I thank you for clarifying that, and I did have a conversation with Mr. Carson from Olympus Media. It's my understanding that his company has followed the regulatory procedures that are set forth by the State Department of Transportation. This represents a $500,000 investment for his company. They have already contracted with 11 other companies for advertisements on this new sign, and it seems that this moratorium is directed specifically at one sign that his company intends to make this investment in. For that reason, I think that this moratorium is wrong, and I do agree that I don't believe his company has been given adequate opportunity to speak their position regarding upgrading these signs. As Mr. Blesky stated, according to the current state law, improving a billboard to a digital billboard is not anything that requires any kind of special licensing. And I think that there are a lot of parties that are interested in this project going forward. And I think that to create an ordinance or a resolution that stops that from happening for the next 6 months would be wrong.
Marilyn Pedretti.
I'm struggling with this. I understand my cohort here about the process. My fear is that we're going to give a one-month moratorium. It's going to come to PRD. It's going to be a full-blown hearing about a moratorium, which I don't understand how that's going to serve anybody's good. I think it's great that Olympus Media has gotten involved, and they'll be absolutely fabulous to have come to our hearing when we talk about the actual ordinance and how we can make it a good sign ordinance. Waiting a month, having another PR&D meeting to drag this out some more to talk about a moratorium, which is all it would be. it wouldn't be about signs and whether or not to have them or where to have them. This is just about a moratorium. We did this in the town of Holland when we were working on a comprehensive plan. It was to give breathing space to the committee to go through the process, and that's all we're asking is for, it could be less than 6 months. We already have a zoning code started. It's just tweaking what we have. And so I fear that doing this for 1 month, and I respect that it's about the process, I think that Olympus, you know, certainly could have been paying attention. I think Ms. Cotter's correct. Most people pay attention to what's going on out there. I was under the understanding that they did know about the PR&D meeting. So I struggle with what this would accomplish for 30 days. And I think it would be, to me, there's a fear factor in blowing this all out of proportion. It's just a moratorium, just to hold off, just to give us time to study it. Thank you.
Bev Mack.
I agree with both Audrey Cotter and Marilyn Pedretti. I think we need the 6 months, and delaying this for a month for us to discuss it again, whether we should have this or not, is just pushing it off to another month's discussion. And I think this community, the County of La Crosse, it would be good for us to have somebody sitting down and discussing, do we have too many billboards? Should we look more closely at how we allow this to happen? We don't know where this is going to head. Maybe we'll say, gosh, we don't have as many as we thought. But my opinion is we do have too many. But I think it's time for us to take some time to sit down and discuss this, and I like this moratorium, and I think it's going to take 6 months to do some study on this issue and come up with some suggestions or an ordinance of some kind, some idea of what we would do with what we find to be true. That's where I'm at.
Jill Billings.
I'm against the amendment.
Okay. Jill Billings.
I respect Supervisor Weir's concerns with process. I don't think that the committee did anything that was wrong. I think that there was one-sided passion in the room. I was there for that meeting, and that's because that's where the passion lies in this community. Those are the people who organized and called people, and those are the people that showed up, and those are the people who cared about it, and they're here tonight, and I think that that's appropriate and that's fine, but I do respect Supervisor Weir's concerns about having all voices in the room, and in her committee meeting, she didn't feel like she had that. So I will support the moratorium. I'm not in support of a referral. I'm in support of a moratorium so we can hold things where they are right now. I have a question for Jeff. Will this moratorium affect the current sign?
The current sign that's going up on the Monaghan overhead, the permits were taken out or started, I believe, in January or February. The lease, I think, was signed in March. So there's a vested interest in that sign now. That sign will not be affected. So what I don't know, and maybe nobody else knows, is has an application been made for anything else? Has something been ordered, parts ordered, that would create a vested interest? I can't answer that.
Thank you. And that was my understanding, that this does not affect the current sign or the current who want to advertise on that sign. That's a done deal. So that is not affected by this.
Right.
This is just saying, let's stop, let's wait. This is something new that we're dealing with. And I respect Supervisor Weir's concerns about hearing all voices in her committee. So I'm supporting her amendment.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As most people on the board know, I'm very interested in community and economic development. Supervisor Freeland stated that this is a rush for development. It's not a rush for development. It's a rush to do the right thing. A six-month moratorium is not a rush either. It's a snail's pace. What on earth do you need 6 months to kick this around? We're talking about a digital sign. of all the letters I received from the the constituents that live in that area, I didn't get a single one asking for 6 months. They're asking for 30 days, and I think 30 days is more than enough time. Why you need, it just blows my mind, why you need 6 months to talk about one particular type of sign? What could you possibly accomplish in 6 months that you can't in a month? And we can vote on this at a June meeting. Otherwise, it's going to drag on, and we'll vote on it in November. I just can't understand why it goes on that, why you want to drag this on. You're not going to accomplish anything. Nothing's going to change. So I support the amendment.
Roger Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Anyone knows that an ordinance cannot be created in 1 month. Not a good ordinance, not if you're going to have a public hearing, not if you're going to listen to the people, not if you're going to listen to the sign companies. You need to have input, and it takes time. You can't just have it happen. Traffic is, it's important to look at what it's going to do to traffic patterns, how busy the intersections that they're located in. There's a million different things that go along with sign ordinances. The lighting, what happens to the neighbors? If you put a large lit sign up in a neighborhood, what happens to the neighbor's backyard? I know it's not an issue that most people have had to deal with because we haven't had this as something to deal with. I think that it takes time to put a good ordinance together, and I think it takes the right people to sit down at the table to make sure it happens correctly. You don't throw it through in 1 month. A six-month moratorium may not be needed to create the ordinance, but at least you've got the time to hear from all the people that are affected by it. I basically, when I was on the city council, we had some issues with billboards. One of the problems that we had is the local company that was here basically, oh, don't hurt this local business. Well, I got off the council, and John Mettinger can attest to this. I was appalled when I saw four large billboards just appear out of nowhere, and they were huge. They were bigger than any of the billboards that we had in the city before. All of a sudden, they just became there. I called John. I think John was a little surprised to find out they were there also, and they're still there today. Now, those things don't come down, as you said before, so if you don't create the ordinance and create it right, you will have things that will last for many, many years to come. And so do it correctly. Don't jump and try to do it quickly. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm going to support the 30-day moratorium. I think part of this is the fear of the unknown. As I understand it, either tonight or tomorrow night, this sign will be lit. People can go and see it, and then we're going to have a lot of knowledge and decide maybe the people, when they see it, there's not going to be a problem. But to put it off for 6 months, to me, makes no sense. I support that. And again, I stopped on the way down to look where they were constructing it, and I will drive by tonight, and I understand it'll be lit either tonight or tomorrow night. And then people can have, you know, see it and make a much better decision. So I'll support Supervisor Weir's 30-day moratorium.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Supervisor Plesha stated, not sure if the 6 months are needed, and I just like to remind everyone, if they read the now therefore it be resolved, it does say for 6 months or until the approval of revised regulations. So we're not saying 6 months, but I believe these issues can be resolved before the 6 months. I think the parties need to talk. The county here needs to hear all the issues on both sides. I just want to point out that the city of La Crosse also has legislation coming for the before the council in June on regulations and a moratorium for signs. There are many issues that were raised at last month's council meeting, and I think more importantly, I firmly believe no matter where you live, you need to be informed. And I certainly wouldn't want a billboard across my street, and I think that everybody should be informed of that legislation or the signs going into their neighborhoods. And unfortunately, it did not happen, but I know on the city,
We do have a conditional use process that they come before the City Planning Commission, and I think that's so important to get that message out and have everyone informed. But I'm hoping that we can come to some agreement before these 6 months are up. It should never take 6 months to do this, and I don't feel it would. But I think we need to at least, you know, go forward and try to get both parties and get some resolution to this. Thank you.
I am skipping over people who have spoken once so that everybody has a chance to speak a first time. So that gets us to Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm leaning towards supporting the amendment by Supervisor Weers, and I think, as she indicated, that it could, the 30-day suspension, moratorium, whatever, it could lead into extend into 5 months. But I think the worst that can come out of this is to hear the other side of the story. And, you know, getting educated on an issue isn't the worst thing in the world before we vote on something. So I would support this. I think billboards are not, certainly not going to convince anybody that they're a good thing if they don't like them. But the process was, I think, not, by no ill intent, but wasn't carried through to the full intent. And I think the other side of the story should have been laid on the table also. Thank you.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard supervisors speak about concern that they wanted to hear from the public. They wanted both sides to be heard. We need this to be, you know, hear all parts of the story. Other supervisors are concerned about the potential of mandating more work for ourselves and taking it away from the state and creating a heavier burden for county and county staff. I cannot believe that we think that part can be done in 30 days. It makes sense to me to take as much time as we need to thoroughly go through a process to make these decisions instead of rushing it in 30 days. I don't understand the logic in trying to address all aspects of this issue in a shorter period of time, which is what I'm understanding the amendment is asking, as opposed to up to 6 months. It doesn't have to take the full 6 months. But to me, I think we need more time than 30 days to thoroughly engage all sides of this discussion in a very thorough process. And I will be voting against the amendment.
Monica Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community standards change and business practices change. In a not too distant past, we had vehicles roaming neighborhoods with loudspeakers attached to them, advertising products and events. Nobody would suggest today that that's a good way of advertising. We call that noise pollution today, and none of us are in favor of noise pollution. Who's to say that noise pollution is more onerous than visual pollution? This is a case where the medium is not necessarily the message. There are other ways to get the word out, other ways to advertise. We need to explore what those ways are and what's acceptable to the citizens in our community. This issue requires thoughtful discussion with input by all those affected. We cannot do that in a month's time. A six-month moratorium is reasonable and gives us the time to discuss this very important issue. I'll be voting against the amendment.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly am not going to make a decision out of fear, because we've come a long way in terms of education from that. But I know for myself, I was most disappointed that signage was not part of our discussion when we had the lengthy debates about approving the Hotliner establishment out on the highway going towards Sparta. And had that sign been part of our discussion, my vote would have changed dramatically. I also have experienced, if you just go west down on Cass Street, you keep thinking that you are coming onto a fire truck all the time because there is a sign that is red flashing, and it does alarm a driver when you see that kind of thing. So I think there's lots of examples already, at least two that I know of in the community, where we can see what this might be like. But I too am in favor of having a deep discussion with Visitors and Convention Bureau. I'm in particular interested to see more about the study that Supervisor Mock referenced at the PRD committee, because I remember being at that reporting session when the people from out of our city came and did a first impressions of the city of La Crosse. So I think there are lots of interested parties, and I agree that the fact that it doesn't say it has to be 6 months long gives us plenty of options. So I will be voting against the amendment.
Tammy Gameroth.
I live near the sign that she referred to, and I hope we take our time to make some decisions about anything that's going to occur like that again, because I hear about that sign that we really have to be very careful. And I think 6 months, if we take 6 months, that's quite all right. 30 days I don't feel is long enough for us to, we can get more input from everyone, but we live by that sign, and it's amazing. It's lights up the whole sky. Thank you.
Is there anybody who has not spoken once yet that wants a chance for a first time? Bob Kyle.
I don't know, but some people say haste makes waste, and I think we need more than 30 days.
Anybody else who has not spoken a first time that wants a chance at it before I do round two? All right, Ralph Geary, you're first up for round two.
Okay. I do support the amendment. This does impose a moratorium for 30 days, and that time next month, a revised resolution might come in. You need 3 more months. Jeff mentioned something earlier I forgot to ask about. I'd be very concerned if they had something in the pipeline. They went through the state and through all the right processes, and they've invested a lot of money. And maybe there's another one in the pipeline, like Jeff said. You may want to exempt that from, you know, there might be some changes you can make to this resolution. 3-month extension instead of 5-month extension. But that would be an issue I'd like to know about if they've expended a lot of money and are planning on putting one up in, you know, in the near future someplace, because then that issue maybe should be dealt with either by giving them a waiver or whatever, but we don't know that right now. That's why I want the 30 days. I'm expecting a different resolution to come in than this one.
Jill Billings.
Well, I feel exactly the opposite. I'm from listening to discussion from committee members tonight, my expectations would be that the 30-day moratorium would take effect. It would go to committee. It sounds like the committee would be in favor of extending a longer moratorium. That's what I'm hoping. And that's what it appears from discussion. And so all this does is give a chance for all parties to weigh in. And I'm in favor of an extended moratorium, but starting with a 30-day moratorium so that the process can be seen through.
Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, the supervisors had plenty of time to pick up their packet and read it, and they would be well informed. There's no reason that they have to talk 3 or 4 or 5 times on the same subject. That just means you're totally uninformed. But seeing how we're on the second round, I move the limit debate to 2 times.
Is there a second to that? Second by Brad Conkle. Can we do that? Is that procedurally? Okay. All right. So now we're not talking about that anymore. Now we're talking about limiting debate to 2 times.
Point of parliamentary.
Ms. Burke. Point of order.
I think that when debate is limited, if he's going to say 2 times, does he mean 2 times per person, only 2 times for the whole debate, 2 times for, I mean, when you limit debate, you have to be...
2 persons.
2 times per person? Does that answer your question, Ms. Burke?
Yes.
Any other discussion on the motion to limit debate to 2 times per person? Seeing none, all in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Vote on the computer. Vote yes if you want to limit debate to 2 times per person. Vote no if you do not. Waiting on who? The motion is passed on a vote of 21 to 13. So debate is limited to two times per person. So, Jerry, that means you're done with your two. Jeff Schrader.
Thank you. I don't think that they feel that there's going to be anything done in 30 days. They just want to be heard. That's my opinion. I might be right. I might be wrong. But what harm is it going to do to let them at least be heard before we impose this moratorium? Thank
you. That actually is all the names I have on my list. Is there anybody who wants another shot at it? Other than Jerry? Tina Weirs.
I maybe already had two times, but sorry, well, I just want to reiterate that the intent
is... I had
is,
you just one other time.
Thank you. The intent is not to ram regulation through in 30 days. It's definitely not expected that this committee is going to be formed and they're going to be done with their work in 30 days. It's that we heard all these questions here. We know exactly why, because we heard 29 people talk about why a moratorium is a positive thing for them. We did not have the opportunity to hear any reasons about why it's not. It doesn't matter if we agree with those reasons or not. We should still hear them as a committee. And so that's why, again, I offer this amendment, not assuming that we're going to ram the regulation through in 30 days.
Maureen Friedland.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat myself too much, and I'm going to be brief. There will be an opportunity if we pass the six-month moratorium or less six-month maximum for the moratorium. There will be an opportunity for all of the sign companies at that point to weigh in and express what they want. The purpose of a moratorium is to keep everything as is so we don't have any change that's made that we can't go back and reverse later on, because we would probably not be able to reverse anything. So this just protects us while we're having that discussion on the side where everyone has an opportunity to weigh in. I also want to say that the lack of state regulation is precisely what's gotten us into this situation. The state is not regulating existing signs. They say, as Mr. Blusky said, that if you have an existing sign, you can convert it. You don't have to do anything. It's a courtesy to notify the state, but you don't even have to do that. So we have a problem here because there's essentially a free-for-all at this point, and we won't know anything. Now, the permits that are required, which would be new billboards and some other permits in the county areas, there would be some permits that would be required. Mr. Blusky can clarify that if he wants. There are no permits that have been applied for. The state has informed me that there are no permits that are out. So the argument that people have expended money and they've ordered things, I think is highly unlikely, because generally the obtaining of a permit is the first thing that you do. So we are providing fair notice and fair warning to everyone that you better wait until we get this process done. Otherwise, you're at jeopardy. And in the PRD committee meeting, we had that discussion also, that we would be notifying companies that a moratorium would be coming up in effect after publication, so they would be advised to be careful about what they did and participate in our process. The lack of state regulation is why we are here where we are, and I would go so far as to say that we have a responsibility to look after our community, our people. We have to decide whether or not we will be leaders for our community. If the state chooses not to regulate billboards, well, that's unfortunate, but we have determined, our legal department has determined, that legally the county can regulate along certain areas that we've never regulated along before, that there's no legal bar to that, that we can do our own simultaneous regulation or regulation that's greater. And that's the process that we'll be getting into, whether we think that this is important enough to us that we want to put resources and figure out how to get this done. Thank you.
Arlene Vendred.
Thank you. I forgot. I'd like to call the question.
I'm going to interpret that as a motion to close debate. Is there a second to the motion to close debate? Second by Brad Conkle. All in favor of closing debate, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Noes, raise your hand. The noes are? Ray Ebert. Dan Ferries. Tina Weirs. Marilyn Pedretti. Maureen Friedland. And Margaret Wood. Oh, and Jim Burns. How many is that?
I'd have a point of information.
Certainly.
If we voted, did Supervisor Sobranik's motion pass or fail? It passed to limit us to two times, correct?
Right.
So wouldn't that supersede another motion from the floor to close debate?
Not at all. His motion was to say a maximum of two times. It didn't mean you're guaranteed two times. And although you had your hand up before Ms. Benrud, Ms. Benrud had not spoken yet, so I called on her before you. Seven noes and how many yeses? Right. 27 yeses, seven noes. That the motion to close debate has passed. We'll vote on the amendment. At this time, the amendment, in essence, correct me if I'm wrong, is to change 6 months to 30 days. Is that correct, Ms. Weirs? Okay. If you are in favor of the amendment to change 6 months to 30 days, vote yes on the computer. If you are opposed, vote no. Okay, wipe. You can erase him, right? Disclose the vote until it's complete.
And you didn't have a photo ID.
Yes, you didn't have a photo ID. The amendment has failed on a vote of 19 to 15. That gets us to the resolution as presented. Any discussion on the resolution as presented? Mr. Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I couldn't get by the amendment to ask my question. My question really is, Jeff, and I've talked to you about it, how is the 12 townships are the only one really affected by this. Were they informed of this temporary moratorium?
No, they weren't.
They were none at all, not Towns Association?
They received the pink sheet on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The pink meeting notice goes to all the municipalities.
Okay, that's
except
how they
the
were
cities
noted.
And villages.
Okay, thank mm-hmm. you very much.
Welcome.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. I'm just wondering,
about the notification that people are talking about, you know, maybe the sign company should have been sent a special notice. What would the effect be on all other committees? And would we have to change our policy about notifying every possible affected party? I can see this just really snowballing into something that is unmanageable. I mean, at Health and Human Services, when we talk about cutting home health, somehow they all hear about it, and they all show up. And I just think that we shouldn't be worried about, you know, if the sign company didn't come, it's because they don't care. That's all right with me. And in terms of the billboards, we have too many billboards now. There's a certain percentage of them that are not creating revenue. Those that say outdoor art on them, those that are pro-life or lacrosse sign company, none of those are generating revenue. So they obviously have too many billboards already. Thank you.
Don Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sharon brings up one of the points I was going to talk about. Many of the calls I got, people think we were going to stop putting up billboards. That was their thought when they started in their discussion with me on the telephone. I said, no, that's not what we're after. We're putting the moratorium on to slow down the process and get a better ordinance for the future. That was one of the things that happened. Jeff, I just want to talk a little bit about enforcement. Now, is your department going to do it? Like, would Chad do this, or
if you as the policy board decides that this should be part of our ordinance, after the discussion on the moratorium is done, there may have to be a special ad hoc committee that's created that takes a look at this outside of the rest of the ordinance, some special committee. If they decide, yes, this is a good thing, then yes, our department would have to enforce it. So not only would the state have to for the brand new signs, but we would have to on any amendments to the sign, any changes. They would have to come to us.
With the staff that you have now, can you?
I would say probably not.
That's what I was leading up to. Okay, that's all I have, Jeff. Thank you.
Vicki Burke.
Mr. Chair, was Supervisor Meyer just talking about the enforcement related to the moratorium, weren't
yes.
you?
Yes.
That's all he was talking about, Jeff. Okay.
But later on, maybe.
Margaret Wood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this might be a question for Ginny. For the integrity of the board, I just want to clarify, were all the procedures followed for the PR&D committee or not? I mean, I'm not quite sure what I'm hearing here. So was everyone noticed as usual for all of our
the agendas? That's done by Margaret. PR&D's done by Margaret in the county board chair's office.
Okay. So no one really knows. I mean, there really was no procedure that was different from our normal board procedures for this particular meeting. So everybody was.
They're posted on the internet and they're sent out to the news media. It's the same news media that gets sent out for any agenda. It's in our global address book for our email. It's the same procedure for all meetings.
So we did follow proper procedure for what we have done so far. Okay, thank you. Because I think I was getting the impression that we did not follow our procedures. So thank you.
Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jeff, we're doing rewriting our zoning procedures. And if those get through and a township opts out, would the moratorium then apply to that township? In other words, are you regulated under zoning? Is how you regulate them?
Currently, the zoning code does not regulate it. The moratorium would indicate that we would make sure that nobody does start a new sign or enhance an existing sign.
I'm going to take that question away from Jeff then, okay. Since Jeff's saying it's not under zoning. I'm going to redirect that question to our corp counsel.
Given the discussion on this issue, I think it would probably be a good idea to review where the proper location of this ordinance should be. And so I don't think you should rush to judgment tonight as to whether it should be in the zoning or it should be a separate standalone ordinance. We have some information from other counties where it was apart from their zoning code. So there should be that discussion.
But this moratorium, if this passes, if a town, I think Mr. Ebert's question was, if a town opts out of county zoning, as, for example, Town of Campbell has talked about in the past, would this moratorium apply in a town that has opted out of county zoning?
Yes, it would, in my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Tammy Gameroth.
I guess it's becoming obvious to me that as long as we discuss this, we need 6 months to really be careful so we make the judgment for everybody sensibly, calmly, carefully, and I think 6 months is understandable. It may not take that long, but I'm really concerned about us taking the time to make it carefully. Thank you.
Anybody else? Jill Billings.
Just one final comment about the survey we did in our comprehensive, when we were putting together a comprehensive plan. One of the issues that we surveyed the county on was, is it appropriate for county government to be legislating issues surrounding signs? Does the county have enough signs? And overwhelmingly, people said the county has enough signs, and it's appropriate for government to step in and legislate this. So although I have concerns about business people, this is an overwhelming concern of people in our county, which was shown by the survey that was done in the comprehensive plan, and that's referred to in the whereas on page 2. And I think that needs to be addressed.
Bev Mack.
In case you didn't read the minutes of the Planning Resource and Development Committee, I quoted a couple sentences from the First Impressions report that I'd like to re-quote. This was a summary of the comments. They did a 5-minute impression as they drove around the La Crosse area, and they said everyone noticed the bluffs and found them to be striking. But the presence of billboards detracted from the initial beauty seen by the team. And they also had quite a number of positive statements about the La Crosse area. But they said, beautiful scenery, nice homes, historic homes, but then they added a big Pepsi billboard in front of a gorgeous bluff was distracting. So that was the opinion of a team of people who came here in 2007. And they came in two different groups, and one in October and one in November. And so that's the impression that people from outside had of this area.
Any further discussion? Joe Bilskemper.
I was just going to say our discussion is drifting away from the moratorium. We're on the moratorium right now.
We're on the resolution. Any further discussion? Maureen Friedland. Microphone.
Sorry. In answer to the question of whether the towns were notified, Highway 16 is mostly the town of Madary. The strip along both sides of Highway 16 is mostly the town of Madary. And the sign that went up today on the Monaghan overpass is on the town of Madary property. And I did contact Linda Seidel, the town of Madary, what is she called, chair, prior to the PRD committee meeting to let her know that was on the agenda.
Any further discussion? We'll vote on the resolution as presented. It was not amended, so the motion before you is the resolution as originally presented. The resolution passes on a vote of 23 to 10. That gets us back then earlier in the agenda to Executive Committee, Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have item 5-12, which is the first reading of an ordinance regarding waterway markers and regulatory signage regulations to create section 30.79 entitled Waterway Markers and Regulatory Signage Regulations. I ask that this be considered its first reading and we hold over for next month's meeting.
That'll be held over till next month unless anybody has any questions. All right, that'll be held over.
Item 5-13 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding a claim of Joyce Josted and Wisconsin Mutual Insurance Company. Whereas Joyce Josted and her insurance company have filed a claim, and whereas Wisconsin Municipal Mutual Insurance Company, known to us as WMIC, has reviewed the information, investigated the facts, and determined that La Crosse County has no liability for this claim and recommends formal disallowance, and whereas the above stated claims do not appear to be meritorious and should be disallowed, now therefore be it resolved that the claim of Joyce Josted and Wisconsin Mutual Insurance Company against La Crosse County, its officers, officials, employees, and agents is hereby disallowed, and further be it required that notice of disallowance of this claim shall be served on the claimants by registered mail or certified mail, and the receipts therefore signed by the claimants or the returned registered letter shall be proof of service. Be it further resolved that the claimants are notified that no action on the claim against La Crosse County nor against any of its officers, officials, agents, or employees may be brought after 6 months from the date of service of this notice of disallowance. Fiscal note is the cost is $20.18 for sending certified mail or restricted delivery to the claimants. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Bill Brockmiller. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 15-14 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Another claim, this one from Robert Bailey and State Farm Insurance Company. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the claim of Robert Bailey and State Farm Insurance Company against La Crosse County, its officers, officials, employees, and agents is hereby disallowed, and further be it required that notice of disallowance of these claims shall be served on the claimants by registered or certified mail, and the receipts therefore signed by the claimants or the returned registered letters shall be proof of service. Be it further resolved that the claimants are noticed that no action on these claims against La Crosse County or against any of its officers, officials, agents, or employees may be brought after 6 months from the date of service. Fiscal note again is $20.18 for sending the certified mail or restricted delivery. I move its approval.
Moved by Terry Johnson, second by Bob Kyle. Any discussion? Chuck Spiker.
I just want to compliment Bill or whoever we talked about in the executive committee on additional information regarding resolutions for denying claims. It really helps a lot. We know on executive we know about it, but the rest of the board doesn't know about it. This really explains it well. Thank you.
Sharon Hampson. Great. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item 5-15 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding authorizing creation of a joint city-county housing task force. Whereas 7,000 housing units within the city of La Crosse have been assessed values of less than $100,000, and whereas the city of La Crosse and La Crosse County recognize the current trends of declining housing stock, continued neighborhood deterioration, and the increasing property tax burden in the city of La Crosse affects the economic health of the city, county, and entire region. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Common Council of the City of La Crosse and the La Crosse County Board create a city-county joint housing task force, and that the charge to the task force is to prepare a report to be presented within 180 days identifying the most cost-effective recommendations to reverse the current housing trends in the city. Be it further resolved that the City-County Housing Task Force will be supported by city and county staff and members to be appointed by the mayor and board chair as follows: the mayor or designee, the board chair or designee, two common council members, two county supervisors, Council President Audrey Cotter of the City Community Block Grant Development Committee member, citizen member Richard Staff, UWL member Kathleen N. Sfinken, a representative of Cooley Cap, Todd Mandel, housing developer Marvin Wanders, realtors Jay Heschler and or Nancy Gerard, an area employer Gunderson Lutheran Mike Richards representative, and landlord Steve Nicolai, banker Wayne Oliver. Fiscal note is there will be little cost of supporting the work of the task force. However, the benefit of providing effective recommendations could help to reverse declining tax base in the city of La Crosse. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Audrey Cotter. And one little grammatical thing. I believe after the term Council President Audrey Cotter of the city, there should be a semicolon.
Oh.
And Community Brock
so
Grant Development Committee member is a second item. Yes. Trust me. Council President Audrey Cotter of the city, semicolon, Community Block Grant Development Committee member is a separate person, isn't it? Or are you a community?
The motion that was approved, or the resolution that was approved at City Council, was that the Council President would be the designated representative of the Community Block Grant Committee. So we're talking about
so that
only
it's just one position
instead
okay.
of two.
Okay, it just phrased really weird then.
Yeah, it it should be representing the City Community Block Grant Committee.
Okay. I guess I'm not going to worry about it. That's
okay.
fine then, as long as we understand it's one position. Okay.
Thank you.
Discussion on this one or questions? John Menninger.
Well, I was just curious why there wasn't anybody on there from Franciscan, Skemper, or Viterbo, since they're also in the neighborhoods where they're the most concerned about some of these issues.
Steve O'Malley, any comment on that?
Actually, the committee recommended was a much smaller membership. It was expanded by discussion at the city council. But Gunderson is basically to represent large employers. So we could have made this a very large body. For a six-month task force, this seems to be very large already at 15 members. So, and in addition to this, once the council acted on it, we mirrored and modified it to be exactly what the city council passed rather than keep going back and forth on membership. So it's a judgment call.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I think Viterbo has got more concern about the housing stock in the community than UWL does, but that's whatever.
Well, as one of the staff members that will be a part of supporting this work, we'll be sure to encourage public involvement of all folks. These are just representatives that will help guide the process. Yeah, there'll be a lot of public meeting notice, yes. No, you're correct. We'll involve a lot of people. It'll be an important issue.
Leanne Paff.
Thank you. I was just wondering, it's a city-county situation, and is any part of the out-county other than the city involved in this, or the way this reads to me, they're all more or less city of La Crosse, and it's called a city-county. I know the city is part of the county.
There's the county board chair or designee and then two county supervisors. It'd certainly be my impression that those county supervisors would probably be out county supervisors. Not necessarily, but probably.
Okay. Just wondering if the out county was represented here.
Yeah. Don Dina?
Well, I guess Leon hit the same question I had, because I'm not sure what this committee is going to do and how it's going to affect the out county, because I'm led to believe a couple of things, and I don't know if I should be led there or not. But I do know that we got lower rates in the out county because of some of the programs we got from the state level on our taxes. And I don't know where this thing is going, but I'm going to be watching pretty close. That's what I'm afraid of.
Any other discussion or questions? Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. I believe Carl Green has presented his report to this body.
Yes,
I've seen it so many times I've forgotten where I've seen it. But it was actually a community committee that is started off in relation to the promise effort on the part of the school district. And so that's why it has the rather unusual makeup. And it was actually that committee that requested both the city and the county to participate in it. But it was not instigated by the city, but we're very happy. And I would think all county board members would be pleased to see additional growth in the tax base to help to reduce the existing tax base for current property owners. Thank you.
Ben Mack.
Well, and I think we have to realize that the poor housing situation in the city of La Crosse affects the whole county. If our tax income is really low, somebody else has to pick it up. And so it is a big concern about the city, I believe, in this authorizing of this city-county housing task force. But it's going to affect the whole county, and they'll be looking at that whole issue.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Anyone who is interested in this, please let Ginny know ASAP. I think they want to get up and running as soon as possible. So if you're interested, I need to have your name if you want to serve. Next item, Ms. Johnson.
I yield the floor on item 5-16 to Supervisor Hampson for reading.
Sharon Hampson.
Thank you. I have item number 5-16, Economic Support Change Call Center Continuation. Whereas in April 2010, the board authorized the Human Services Department to hire 5 limited-term employees to provide certain economic support services to La Crosse County citizens and to citizens of 7 other partner counties on a shared basis through La Crosse County's Change Call Center under a 1-year pilot project. Whereas the 5 limited term employees are currently scheduled to sunset on June 30th, 2011, whereas the Change Call Center pilot project has proved successful in delivering quality services in a cost-efficient manner, and as of July 1st, at least 6 of the original 7 partner counties will be continuing the partnership and sharing the costs of the ES Change Call Center until December 31st, 2011. Whereas considering the uncertainties in the 2011-13 State of Wisconsin biennial budget with regards to economic support services, it would be premature to create and hire permanent positions to deliver these services. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors authorizes continuation of up to 4 of the 5 LTE positions through December 31st, 2011, and authorize the Finance Department to make any appropriate account transfers necessary for continued Change Center operation. Fiscal note, there is no impact on the county tax levy. Expenditures for the LTEs and other Change Center goods and services will be entirely offset with revenue received from partner counties. I move its approval.
Moved by Sharon Hampson, seconded by Jill Billings. Any discussion? Jeff Schrader.
Can someone tell me what these people actually do? Do they explain the program? What do they do?
Actually, Lori Graff is here, I believe.
I see Lori Graff coming out of the darkness and into the light. Laura, you heard the question, right?
Yeah, they're wondering what the Change Center does.
Right.
The Change Center workers, once somebody is eligible for public assistance, so food share, Medicaid, those programs, if they have a change in their circumstances, like somebody moving in or out of the home or change in income, they have to report that change. And one of the ways that they can do that is through our Change Reporting Center. So that's what they do for those cases. And they, you know, take calls all day long and actually process those changes, which determine differences in benefits for programs.
Does that answer your question, Mr. Schrader?
So these people are well-versed enough that they can do that, being part-time employees?
No, they're full-time employees, LTEs. We had 4 original Change Center workers. They're actually certified economic support specialists for La Crosse County, and then when we regionalized, we added the LTEs for the pilot period.
Sharon Hampson.
Just note that the executive committee chair did not sign this. Is that on the original, the yellow resolution, has that been signed by the executive committee chair? I note up at top, it says the vote was 8-4 and 1 excused.
Yeah, that resolution, the yellow copy of it, was hijacked between Health and Human Services board meeting and the executive committee meeting between Tuesday night and Wednesday, whatever night. And so there is not a signature on it, but it is pending.
Thank you. Does have one now. It does now? Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Don Bina.
Just a thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question to follow up on what Jeff Schrader asked. Evidently, you're certifying the people to go into the Hillview complex, the Lakeview complex.
That would be one of the things,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If I remember some of the discussion we had earlier about the governor's proposal and his budget, the people who are certifying people to be in programs are now going to be handled in Madison if it's in the budget that way. Mm-hmm. This wouldn't affect you guys out to Lakeview then?
This would be for economic support. These are current employees in economic support, and so if the income maintenance was centralized, it would affect these staff.
It would affect them.
Yes.
Okay, so we might be out there too if the budget goes through. Okay, that's right. What I was wondering.
We're hoping that they will pass the consortium model that counties have come up with, but yeah.
Okay.
Jill Billings.
Yeah, I was just going to add that this was the pilot that was done by La Crosse County in the last year, where the regional counties got together with us, and we created this way of seeing if regionalization would work, and it's worked quite well. And that work is hopefully going to hold us in good stead as we encourage the legislature to look at this instead of centralizing and privatizing the work in Madison, where we'd lose our employees, and the work would not be done as well. And we're still working on that. I saw Sarah Kasdorf, Diedrich Kasdorf, in the Capitol today. Working hard on still trying mm-hmm. to get our proposal through as opposed to the governor's proposal, and we're still working on it.
Right.
So if you want to add your voices to that, please join us.
Any other discussion or questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Thank you.
Back to you, Ms. Johnson.
Item 5-17 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, resolution regarding temporary pay equity adjustment to all non-union staff impacted by Wisconsin Act 10, known as the Budget Repair Bill, approximately equal to compensation in the 2011 union contracts. Whereas Wisconsin Act 10 requires all Wisconsin Retirement System eligible employees not covered by a current contract to contribute 50% of the required WRS contribution rate effective with the first pay period after the bill is published, and whereas Resolution 83-311 approved contracts with all county unions affected by the budget repair bill, effectively delaying the 50% contribution requirement for union staff until January 1, 2012, and whereas once the bill is published, 361 non-union staff will be impacted immediately, and the WRS contribution will be deducted from their next paycheck, and whereas La Crosse County has a long history of treating union and non-union staff the same in most pay and benefits, but an inequity will exist if non-union staff are required to make a WRS contribution that union staff are not required to make, and whereas the cost of a one-time temporary pay equity adjustment of 5% payable over the remaining pay periods of 2011 for non-union staff would have no increased cost to the 2011 budget when offset by the 50% pension contribution, but would alleviate most of the cost burden for non-union staff in 2011. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby authorize a one-time temporary pay equity adjustment of 5% payable over the remaining pay periods of 2011 to all non-union staff who are required to participate in WRS and impacted by the new requirement to contribute 50% of the WRS contribution imposed by Wisconsin Act 10 or similar action by the state legislature. Be it further resolved that this temporary pay equity adjustment does not become effective until such time as the 50% mandatory pension contribution required by Wisconsin Act 10 or other legislative action takes effect. Be it further resolved that this temporary pay equity adjustment expires effective with the last payday of 2011, and the general payday is December 30th, 2011, For Hillview and Lakeview, that payday is December 23rd, 2011. The fiscal note is the pay equity adjustment does not apply to elected officials, union employees, and employees not eligible for WRS. The estimated cost of a 5% pay adjustment for 6 months is $458,079, offset by WRS contributions to be paid by the 361 employees of approximately $462,793. So the net budget savings of $4,714. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson. Is there a second? Second by Vicki Burke. Mr. Engelson, you prepared the attachment. Is there anything you need to add to that or any comment?
I just probably want to highlight a couple of things. If you look at who are these people that we're talking about, we have 473 non-union employees. However, there's only 361 of those that are covered by WRS. So those are the ones we're talking about. We're talking about, for example, County Board Secretary, employees in the payroll department, personnel department, IT department, corp counsel, fiscal clerks, Hillview nurses, Lakeview nurses, elderly benefits specialists, just as some examples. These are workers who are in every department working alongside union staff and other exempted employees. Again, as the resolution stated, the cost of this proposal is not costing anything more than what is already budgeted for in 2011. It's again one time spread over the remaining pay periods again, but it won't go into effect until the budget bill goes into effect, and it will immediately stop at the end of this year. It will be indicated as a separate line item on a payroll check, so everybody will understand that it's a limited one-time pay increase.
Discussion or questions? Bridget Flood.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little confused. Pay equity, 5%. Wasn't the union 2%?
Well, the union, keep in mind that the union's agreement was that the county would pick up the 5.8% until the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm unconfused. Thank you.
Okay.
Don Bina.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. She isn't the only one confused, because I am too, because this won't start now because the budget repair bill hasn't been passed. This will only start when and if they pass that.
So clarification, Mr. Bina, it was passed. It's in court.
I agree, but it isn't implemented until
right. There's
a judge's ruling that says it's free to go
right. Or
not go, depending on what that decision is. So this won't start until something like that happens. So your cost figures could be considerably far off. You know, they might not have a resolution to this until November. So all you're talking about is making up that difference for the months that are there between now and the end of the year on when they're implementing this. So we're basically picking up, is the 5% the retirement fee?
Well, no, keep in mind that once it goes into effect, and again, the dollars that I put in the packet in the handout here,
okay. It's
just an example. It's an assumption.
I agree.
For everybody to see what it could cost if it were to go into effect July 1. What will happen when it does go into effect is that the non-union employees will have 5.8% deducted from their paychecks for the employee
right. Share. I realize.
And what we're asking for is to then have a temporary pay increase of 5%. The reason that we didn't ask for 5.8 is because the county will have to pay FICA and retirement, the county share of retirement, on that additional 5%. So we don't want it to cost the county any more than what we have budgeted.
Yeah, you have it in the budget, even though we don't really have to pay it if we don't want to.
Correct.
Okay.
Ralph Geary.
It doesn't affect 2012.
Correct.
And it won't be included in the base.
Correct.
For future years.
Correct.
Jim Burns.
This is probably more of an administrative question, but to get this done, there's no real cost to the county in terms of it's really a thing that you enter into a computer, and it's really easy to change these salaries and to get rid of it. And
well, we certainly did have some work. We will have work to make the deduction, the WRS deduction, because that hasn't been done in the past. The system has been set up in place for increases from time to time, so there really isn't much additional work on the IT side.
Okay, so there's no real appreciable indirect cost.
Correct.
Thank you.
Bill Feehan.
Okay, I'm trying to understand this too, and if the budget repair bill becomes law, then these employees would begin making the 5.8% contribution for their WRS to the WRS system. So how does this not cost the county money? I understand that initially, you know, we had talked about 0%, and that would be the deal with the unions, and there's a history of treating the non-collectively bargained employees the same way. But in essence, assuming that this happened and the six-month figure was here, this is $458,000 that we'll be paying that we would not have to pay if the budget repair bill becomes law.
Well, I think the key is that it doesn't cost the county any more than what has already been budgeted for in 2011.
I don't.
Well, keep in mind that the county, if you look at the chart with the dollars and cents on it, the estimated 5.8% that the employees will have to contribute would total 462. So if the employees will be contributing that means the county doesn't have to contribute that once the employees have to pick up their share.
So the effect, if we don't pass this, the effect would be that the county would not have to make the WRS contribution. The employees would begin making it?
Well, the employees will have to begin making it.
So I don't see how that's not a cost increase to the county.
Well, again, what I tried to convey here is that it will not cost the county any additional monies than what we have already budgeted for.
Ralph Carey.
I think what occurred is the different years we're on. When we approved our budget in November, we didn't know about the modifications due to the state $3.6 billion. You knew they were going to take the money out of something, but you didn't know where. So you budgeted an amount of money for wages, fringes, whatever.
Correct.
When that came into effect.
Correct.
That's where the offset is.
Correct.
We budget that amount.
Correct.
That's what you see.
Other questions or discussion? Tammy Gamroth.
Thank you. I was just wondering, if it doesn't go into effect, then there will not be the 5%
That's absolutely
increase.
Correct.
So, okay, that was my... Yep. Thank you.
You bet.
Anyone else? Leanne Paff.
Does this include any of the step increases? Were they in the budget repair bill? Were they optional, or is that up to us to make the step increases? Or was it in the bill? Did it say that they did not have to be made?
Well, step increases were not addressed in the budget repair bill. The step increases that some employees will receive were budgeted for when we did prepare the 2011 budget. Now, keep in mind that step increases, even though they were budgeted for, many of the step increases are merit increases, so employees have to achieve a certain level of work, so to speak, in order to be granted that merit step.
J. Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does this include any overtime pay?
No. No, this doesn't.
So this number is based on, if they're salaried, it's based on their annual salary.
That's
if
correct.
It's hourly, it's based on their hourly wage.
This overtime is not an issue.
Thank you. Right.
Anybody else? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Mr. Spiker. No, we're doing it verbally. Oh, okay. All right. Are you logged in now, Margaret? Okay. The noes, let's see your hands again. Mr. Spiker, Mr. Bina, Mr. Feehan, anyone else? Okay, three noes, that passes. Is that it for you, Ms. Johnson? Thank you. That gets to Planning, Resource, and Development, Marilyn Pedretti.
Thank you. Item 5-19, Conditional Use Permit 826, filed by Edward and Diane Rohmeyer, W7218 Remus Road, Onalaska, to operate a computer repair business from their home on Land Zone Agriculture District A in the town of Onalaska. I move its approval with the seven conditions.
Ms. Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve subject to seven conditions, seconded by Mr. Meyer. Any questions or discussion on this one? Mr. Spiker.
When I chaired zoning committee in that, we used to contact the municipality next door, like it's the village of Holman. And because of their wells and that, this will not cause any problem with any of their wells or anything. Is that correct then?
It's minor. I can ask Mr. Blusky to come out just to confirm, but it's my understanding that this is for an office in a shed just outside.
So it's not going
to... To my knowledge, it wouldn't. No. Yeah.
You remember that, Jeff, though.
Yes,
okay.
Still do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Mr. Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just noticed there's an unlighted premises sign. That moratorium that we did tonight, will that affect signs? And assuming this one, since it's already going to be approved before it's published, but would that mean that no on-premises signs can be put up?
Mr. Shepard. You're not hanging on our every word. Mr. Ebert, can you repeat the question?
Yes, I'm looking here, and there's a one unlighted premises sign is allowed. Under the moratorium we just passed, does that mean that anyone who starts a new business once that moratorium is published cannot put up a sign on their property?
Is Jeff Blusky out there? So it's part of his zoning request, or I'm sorry, conditional use permit. Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. I believe there's a difference between on-premise signs and off-premise, and the moratorium, my understanding, is in relation to off-premise signs.
No. Jeff Blusky, I think Mr. Shepard has a question for you.
It appears that it would be, if this sign is a new sign, it appears that it would be subject to the moratorium.
Okay.
So you'd have to wait until the...
Even though this has to
he's already torn it down twice.
Is there a sign there now?
No. It's laying in his yard.
Didn't.
Do I still have the floor, Mr. Chair?
I want to ask Mr. Shepard a question in terms of legislative procedure. We passed the moratorium, I don't know, half hour ago, whatever. This is a subsequent action of the board which approves a sign. Does the previous action of the board creating a moratorium as it relates to this person, does this override that? I would have thought it did. Because it's not an ordinance that we created previously. It was...
I think you could allow this sign. Whether then you'll get a flood of these special requests in, I can't predict, but it's your moratorium. You can make exceptions to it if you choose.
Okay, now half the board has raised their hand, so let's go.
I would assume I still have the floor, Mr. Chair.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, sir. So as I understand it, if someone bought Gander Mountain now, in the next 6 months, they could not put up a sign or change the sign that's out there. Is that true, to best of your knowledge, sir?
What the it says that the we're placing a temporary moratorium on the erection and maintenance of any new billboards in CEVMS within the unincorporated areas of La Crosse County, including the conversion of existing billboards to electronic variable message billboards. So if it fits within that criteria, yes, they could not do it. I assume that Gander Mountain's got a sign there. I don't know.
Gander Mountain, I think, is also in the city.
If it's in the city,
however,
we don't control
so
that.
So the town of Hamilton, we cannot start any new businesses and put a sign out for the next 6 months. Is that correct?
Define billboard.
Okay.
I would like a clarification from the corporate council what sign would or would not be allowed for a new business in the town of Hamilton.
I think that actually that really has nothing to do with this particular item that is on the floor. I think it would be good if Mr. Shepherd comes up with that answer, but now is not the time to do that. So on this conditional use permit, Mr. Bina.
Okay. We did pass this with a sign. As I understood our discussion on these two projects here, Mr. Shepherd told us a while ago at the last meeting that the ordinance would not take effect until it is published, which is next week sometime. The work we're doing with zoning tonight is finalized tonight, so it would be prior to the sign ordinance being published. Therefore, my legal opinion is that we don't have a problem.
Thank you, Counselor. Ralph Geary.
Well, Jeff, under the restrictions, it says 8 square feet, 2 feet by 4 feet, for example. I mean, next month, if we've got this moratorium, you should maybe bring in some clarification on what's a billboard and what's, 2 by 4 is not a very large sign. And I don't know, do we have a size requirement that's called either a yard sign or a billboard or whatever?
We regulate this type of sign in our ordinance right now. We do not do billboards along state or federal highways.
So you're saying the billboard ordinance doesn't apply to this sign because it's too small?
I'm not saying that.
Whoa. Are you gonna be able to say that by next month, bring in some clarification on that? Well, Ray brought up a good point. New business is popping up. It's hard to open a business up when at least a sign in front of your place that says Jeff's auto body or something.
I will ask Corp Counsel to include a report for either our policy planning meeting or our next county board meeting to explain the scope of the moratorium as it was passed tonight, so it's clear in not just the mind of the board but the mind of the public. Any other discussion on this conditional use permit? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Item number 5-20, zoning petition number 1864 to amend the La Crosse County zoning ordinance filed by Rob Bergmeyer, acting on behalf of Hotline Truck Line Services, LLC, West Salem, to rezone from exclusive Ag District and Ag District A to commercial District B in the town of Bangor. I move its approval.
Moved by Marilyn Pedretti. Is there a second? Second by Don Meyer. Discussion? All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Ms. Pedretti?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Public Works and Infrastructure, Jim Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Resolution 521 to the Honorable Members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding County Highway Department cooperative agreements. Whereas few county Wisconsin counties can afford to own all their own road construction equipment and therefore utilizing equipment from other counties as needed saves costs. And whereas in the event of large projects, the county will consider utilizing the workforce of an adjacent county in addition to its own workforce, and whereas charges for equipment and labor that are cooperatively shared by counties will be charged in compliance with state accounting practices and collective bargaining agreements, and whereas cooperating purchasing of special equipment sharing bid results and sharing specialty equipment with adjacent counties to utilize such equipment
as much as possible will further reduce county's projected costs, and whereas it's in the best interest of La Crosse County to enter into this cooperative agreement with adjacent county highway departments to share manpower and equipment and to agree to cooperatively purchase materials, equipment, and supplies as ways to reduce the cost of county highway projects. Now, therefore, be resolved that the La Crosse County Board does authorize cooperative agreements between La Crosse County Highway Department and highway departments of adjacent counties. Be it further resolved that the County Highway Commissioner shall determine what cooperative agreements with adjacent counties are in the best interest of La Crosse County, and the La Crosse County Board Chair is authorized to sign any such agreement upon approval of the agreements by the Corporation Council. Fiscal note, the cost savings in entering into cooperative agreements with the adjacent counties is undetermined at this time. I move for its approval.
You can take a breath now. Moved by Mr. Burns, seconded by Jeff Schrader. Discussion. Don Bina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, we've been doing this for a lot of years. I think I spent about 12 years on the Highway Committee, and we never had a problem. We worked jointly with Vernon County, Monroe County at times. Why now, at this time, do we need a resolution which says the same things we've been doing for years and years?
Is Ron Chamberlain out there? Did you hear the question?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, specifically to quite frankly recognize what has been a statewide practice that provides a written policy which backs up the then practice. The boards are fully informed, everybody's aware. It provides a methodology for cooperation that hopefully can be passed on an example and continue to be emulated throughout the state. Things like this agreement are normally formalized after a period of time. For example, mutual aid agreements, if you think back a number of years, were historically done when one fire department, for example, needed the help of another. They routinely did it. This identifies the specific areas and formalizes the process that we're in process of doing.
It's not because we had a big
problem or something. Oh, no. No, not by any stretch of the means.
Okay, because for years we got Vernon County over to mark our roads with their striping paint equipment, and they still do it. And we worked jointly back and forth, you know, over the years. I haven't been there now for 10 years, but okay, that's answered it.
Tex Miker.
Ron's more diplomatic than I am. We had this, been doing this for a long time. We had no written policy, and it was a good idea to have a written policy. Thanks to Ron. Thank you.
Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the resolution, say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 522 to the honorable members of La Crosse County Board of Supervisors regarding approval of Storant request for access easement, whereas Jeffrey D. and Marsha Thurston doing business as MJ Enterprises LLC previously owned a gas station and bait shop business on Wisconsin Highway 16 near West Salem and adjacent to property owned by La Crosse County at the Swarthart Neshonic Park. And whereas upon authority of the County Board, Jeffrey D. and Marsha Thurston were granted on or about March 19, 2009, an access easement over county owned property. And whereas Scott Sturant and his wife Tricia Sturant, DBA Skytime Investments LLC, are purchasing the business known as Neshonic Sports from the Thurstons and will continue to operate the business as a sports and bait shop, including the sale of gas, food, and beverages. And whereas the Public Works and Infrastructure Committee determines that granting of the easement will not be detrimental to the public interest and recommends that an access easement across county property be granted to the Strands, now therefore be resolved that the County Board Chair and County Clerk, after approval of the Corporation Council, are authorized to sign an access easement agreement between La Crosse County and the Sturants, doing business as Skytime Investments LLC, provide an easement for ingress and egress from the Sturants business to State Highway 16. Be it further resolved that this easement shall terminate any change in ownership of the business and renewal of the easement shall be obtained from La Crosse County by any new owner. Fiscal note, this grant of easement has no fiscal impact to La Crosse County. I move for its approval.
Moved by Jim Burns. Is there a second? Seconded by Ray Ebert. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Is that it for you, Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Aging and Long-Term Care, Mr. Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have item 523. Approve the name of the assisted living facility at Hillview Healthcare Center Whereas the assisted living facility at Hillview Healthcare Center is currently under construction, and whereas the facility will require its own name to differentiate it from the nursing home facility and the independent living facility that are currently located on the Hillview campus, and whereas the Hillview staff and current residents have provided input to the Aging and Long-Term Care Committee as to fit a proper name for the assisted living facility, and whereas the Aging and Long-Term Care Facility Care Committee has approved the name suggested for this facility and recommends the facility be named as follows, Hillview Terrace. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby determine that the assisted living at the Hillview Healthcare Center shall be named Hillview Terrace. Be it further resolved that the County Administrator, Hillview Administrator, shall carry out the intent of this resolution in naming this facility. I move for its approval.
Moved by Mr. Plesha, seconded by Monica Cruz. Any discussion or questions on this one? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. That it for you, Mr. Plesha? That gets us to redistricting committee. Tara Johnson.
Thank you. There's a request from the back of the room to take a short recess.
Let's take 5 minutes. Come back at 8:25. Concession, redistricting committee. Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have resolution 5-24 to the honorable members of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors, a resolution regarding approval of 2011 tentative county supervisory district plan. I'm going to skip to the now therefore be it resolved clause unless anybody argues with me. Now therefore be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board has solicited suggestions on the tentative plan from both the public and the municipalities located within La Crosse County at the public hearing held before the board on May 16, 2011, and at various meetings of the redistricting committee. Be it further resolved, after giving due consideration to the public comment and suggestions by the municipalities, the La Crosse County Board does hereby adopt the 2011 tentative county supervisory district plan, dividing La Crosse County into 29 supervisory districts, and hereby authorizes the county clerk to transmit the 2011 tentative plan to each municipal governing body in the county and request that each municipality create its wards in accordance with Wisconsin Statute Section 5.15 within the time required by law. Fiscal note is the average annual cost per supervisor is as follows. Wage and fringe benefits, $5,688. Travel and other miscellaneous expenses, $1,031, for a total average cost per supervisor of $6,719. Therefore, a reduction of six supervisors would save the county approximately $40,314 a year. However, the cost of elections paid by the county clerk's office may increase in an undetermined amount because of a greater number of ballot styles required for elections, resulting from the greater number of wards in the city of La Crosse, and the possibility that city aldermanic districts will not be coterminous with the county supervisory districts. I move its approval.
Moved by Tara Johnson, seconded by Jeff Schrader. Discussion, Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we have a lot of discussion on this, I would like an opinion from corporate counsel before we begin this long discussion on redistricting. The City Reapportionment Committee yesterday voted to have at least 15 council members, and they were very strong about trying to maintain that size of 15 or more. My question for corporate counsel is, if we turn down 29-01 and go with another plan tonight, do we need a public hearing on this before the deadline of 5 p.m. tomorrow? Thank you.
Mr. Shepard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The law provides that we have 60 days to do this job from March 21st, 2011. Tomorrow is the 60th day, so you are at the end of the time frame that is allowed. The problem with going beyond tomorrow is that somebody could petition circuit court, and we could end up back in the same mess that we were in 1980 in a fight with the city of La Crosse in which a circuit court judge had to decide on the plan. He fortunately picked a La Crosse County plan, but it was problematic for quite a period of time. So the best recommendation that I can give to you is to proceed with considering the 29 supervisory districts that you have been reviewing for some time, and you can tweak the lines, but it would be problematic to change to a 31 or a 35 or any other number you so desire at this point in time, because any other number but 29 is not the plan that you had the public hearing on, and you would need to have another public hearing. The only time that you could do that would be tomorrow before 5 p.m. And again, I remind you that you need to get this plan to the county or to the various municipality clerks before 5 p.m. tomorrow to stay within the 60 days. I think I said at various meetings, including at the Plan Commission, that you really need to set the number of supervisory districts and continue with that number throughout the process, and this is the reason why you're really out of time. If you choose another plan, we are prepared to send the notice out tonight, but the open meetings law requires a 24-hour notice unless there's some emergency or undue circumstance. We don't have 24 hours to do a notice, so it would be less than 24 hours. It would be more than 2 hours. But again, that's another potential technicality that somebody could use to upset the plan. So my best recommendation to you is stick with the 29. Talk about changes to the 29 if you so desire tonight, but that would be my recommendation.
Further discussion, Leon Paff.
So what you're saying is there is not a choice of doing, if it was voted down, the 29 was voted down, it would remain the same at 35, so nothing would be done, or is that not a choice? The choice tonight is this or what? If this is voted down, if 29 is voted down, does it go back to 35? That's
no.
The question.
It you don't have a ten. If this is voted down, you don't have a tentative plan. The statutes require you to have a public hearing on a tentative plan. You've done that, but only you know. I think that you have to go back. That this redistricting committee was formed a lot longer in the past, from 60 days, but they've involved a lot of people from at least the 60 day period of time. So it's really late in the day, and I've tried to send that message out in the meetings that I've attended, and I think Jeff Blusky has told every meeting that he's been at, he's run that PowerPoint, you have 60 days. Well, 60 days is over tomorrow, so that's where you're at this point.
John Manninger.
A question for Corp Council. The city's developed an alternative plan that has 13 city districts. That's consistent with the 29 we've been operated on. Could we take that amendment tonight? That doesn't screw anything up, does it?
No. And Ron Roth, who has been in charge of the technical part, he and I have had a number of conversations, and Ron is here tonight, so he can, if he's found anything different. It, as I understand it, the city plan that they presented has a sufficient small deviation, so that wouldn't violate the equal one person, one vote principle.
Yeah. Ray Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So am I correct that tonight it's the number has to be set? The lines could actually be changed up until the final adoption? Is that correct, sir?
Well, really, the plan that you set in place tonight is going to be the plan for all practical purposes. You know, there is a case that came out about the same time in the 1980s as our case, that where
there were significant changes, and it was a numbers change in Rock County that the court didn't allow. Yes, you could change the lines somewhat, but you know, other than unplugging the city of La Crosse and plugging in the same number 13 into the plan, any other changes you make is going to mess up the whole plan. I mean, that's the only area that you could, you know, that the parts could be interchangeable as long as it's 13 supervisory districts in the city of La Crosse, and that's because the city of La Crosse has those 13 districts within its corporate boundaries.
So the answer is
the answer is you what the plan that you passed tonight is for all practical purposes the final plan, but the cities do provide you with some input, and you know, I really can't imagine what changes would be made, because they are required to form their wards within the boundary lines of the supervisory districts.
Correct. It just came up, Hamilton has 5 county board supervisors in it and 5 school districts, so in theory they could be 25 ballot styles. It won't actually come out that way because they won't, but yeah. I just wondered if there was something.
That could be.
So if, say, the city of Onalaska said, we would like you to swap this group of 25 people with that group of 25 people in 2 adjoining districts that we have here, where it doesn't change the population in each of those county board districts, would that be acceptable? Or
that would be a minor change, that as long as it doesn't affect the other municipalities and the and the overall deviation. So that would be a good example if the city or somebody saw that kind of minor change where you could exchange one for the other, and it doesn't affect the deviations and so forth. So yes, and that would be a good change. Mr. Ebert, I was speaking about, you know, suddenly redoing the town of Hamilton, which, you know, could very well affect every other community except city of La Crosse. So,
Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it sounds like it should be, I know we all heard the 60-day thing, and kind of shame on you guys for putting us in this position. It's do or die, it sounds like. You take it or not.
Well,
that was my comment. Also, I'd like to see further be it resolved after giving due consideration to public comment. Now, a lot of us were here the other night at the public hearing. We heard from 3 elected officials in La Crosse. Now, out of 114,000 people that we represent, that's the comments we got from the public, I heard. I think this is ridiculous. I know we're running up to the wire, but to say it's going to be problematic, well, we're in that situation.
There were 2 notices in the paper, right?
Yeah.
It published 2 days, so.
Just to clarify, it's problematic if you change, so.
Well, if you accept it, there's no problem.
If you accept it,
yeah.
It you know, you've stayed within the process, you've had a good process, the material guidelines that we've provided that we followed that process set forth in the guidelines provided both by the Legislative Reference Bureau and also a similar guideline that's been provided by the Wisconsin Counties Association. It's unfortunate the way that meetings fall, that it's at the end of the 60-day process, but those are the dates that this board selected, and you know, that's what we have to work with.
Well, I held my opinion until after I heard public comment. I didn't hear any public comment last week at the hearing.
Right.
Thank you.
Jill Billings.
Pass.
Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question of Mr. Shepherd. I thought I heard you say that substituting an alternate 13 district plan from the city in place of what our 13 district for the city plan calls for would be okay? Is that correct? Did you say that?
Yes, you could do that. And you,
but
I mean,
even
it's
though
up
we
to
haven't,
you.
So my question is, was there a public hearing held on that? If that were to happen, would that new plan meet the standard for having held a public hearing on La Crosse County's supervisory district plan?
Yes, and let me just read to you one sentence. It's talking about the public hearing, and this is from the WCA guideline, which I think is a credible piece of work. It says, under that statute, you have to hold a public hearing on the proposed plan. That's what occurred Monday night. Public hearing provides an open forum for expression of concern, so you heard some of those, apparently only from the city of La Crosse, but that's what it was. Regarding the number of districts and the district lines, well, as I understand it, I don't know how much you heard about the number of districts. You heard, you know, the only official word that you got from the city was that map and their resolution that they presented. So that was proper that they presented that to you. And then it goes on to say the tentative plan may be amended after the public hearing and prior to its finalization and adoption. So yes, that is those kinds of small changes are changes that don't mess up the whole thing can be done. If you choose to do that, you don't have to choose or accept what the city presented to you on Monday night.
Thank you.
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my understanding is that the city council can add to their numbers. We could adopt the plan as is here at the county board, but the city could add an extra two or even three council members, but they would not be coterminous.
Right.
The 13 county board supervisors would still remain in the district we approved tonight, but the council, when it comes back, can add.
Right.
Correct?
And if I could just elaborate on that point, Ms. Richmond. Based on the population and the maximum size of wards that the city can have, they will, by virtue of population, they will need two wards in every supervisory district. But they can create any number of wards that they want. The wards do not have to be of the same population, but the wards that they create have to equal the population of each of our supervisory districts. But they can choose different numbers, size wards. They can then take and use those wards to create different aldermanic districts. It's not going to be easy, probably, but yes, it can be done. They could create, I've seen the number 14 or 15. They could do that. But you're right. We would not have coterminous boundaries of aldermanic and supervisory districts. That's the one drawback on that proposal.
Brad Conkle.
I would just like to thank the redistricting committee and our administration for all their hard work on this plan. I know this has been discussed for quite some time, reducing the board size, and I think that, you know, all things considered, we've looked at a lot of different numbers, a lot of different sizes, and the 29 board members make sense. There's logical reasoning behind it, and I would like to just thank them for all their hard work, and I will be in support of this resolution tonight.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've been asked by the city redistricting committee to formalize the request that was presented at the public hearing, and so I will read my motion so as you have it. At the request of the City of La Crosse.
This is an amendment, is that correct?
Is amendment, yes. At the request of the City of La Crosse Reapportionment Committee, I move to amend the County 29 plan to substitute the attached city plan for the city districts so that we can be coterminous with the county supervisory districts.
That's the motion. That's our motion. Is there a second? Second by John Menninger.
And
discussion on the amendment at this point. Audrey Cotter, you still have the floor.
Thank you. I think a sincere effort has been made on the part of some members of the city committee, and it'll provide the opportunity at least when the city starts to work on its 60 days to provide the opportunity for the council to decide whether they wish to be coterminous with the county or whether they still want to get into all of the divvying up the wards, which, as I think we all know who participate in it, that that's a pretty difficult situation.
On the amendment, John Menninger.
Yeah, I don't think we have to beat this horse up too badly. It seems to me that the city has asked for these 13 supervisory districts. I've looked it over. There, you know, there's always some pluses and minuses in all of it, but it's what the city's asked for, and I don't know why anybody would object to it, frankly. It seems to be fair enough.
Sharon Hampson.
This is all kind of just talk. If the city council is serious about what they said last night, that they will accept no less than 15 districts. So where does that leave us?
Andrea Richmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the amendment, I need clarification. There is Supervisor Cotter substituting the plan that the city had put before us, or are we keeping the same as 2901 with those boundary lines?
She would lift out what 2901 has for boundary lines within the city of La Crosse and replace them with the map that she provided.
Okay. With,
I didn't call on you, Ms. Cotter. You got to wait till you're called on.
Okay. So I guess this is a total surprise, being she was at that meeting yesterday and she never mentioned one thing on that was her plan. I am going to object to that plan, and Supervisor Menninger, I'm not sure if you realize, by doing that and having that whole line changed, I think it needs to have a public hearing, because that's not fair to the community, knowing that all of these districts that she's trying to substitute are changing. I mean, the districts that people are representing are totally different than what they are as our agreement on 2901. And for her to come in at the last minute and do this is totally wrong and inappropriate. And I hope everybody understands that.
Just a minute. Jill Billings.
I guess I'm confused about this too, because I received a green sheet of paper on my desk that from the reapportionment committee at the city, saying that they want to go to 15 or greater districts. When I was at the public hearing, the three council members who spoke said that they thought 13 was too small, and now I hear tonight from Audrey that they've asked her to substitute 13. So I feel like I'm getting lots of mixed messages from the city.
Audrey Cotter.
Thank you. The chair, I do not serve on that committee. The chair of that committee asked me, he believes that it was introduced at the public hearing, this particular plan, it was circulated, and he requested that I read this in. This is not something that I have cooked up for my own personal benefit, and I take exception to that allegation.
Ms. Cotter, you specifically said earlier that this was at the request of the reapportionment committee. Are you now saying it was at the request of the chair of the reapportionment committee?
Yeah, I should have included that word in there.
Well, that's a big difference.
I'm sorry. It was not intentional.
Okay. So this was at the request of the chair of the reapportionment committee.
Who is here tonight? He can vouch for it if you wish.
Well, this is not a public hearing.
I know it's not.
All right. So has the reapportionment committee taken a vote on something?
Yes, and that
is... And that is what's on the green paper?
Yes.
Okay, so the official position of the reapportionment committee is 15 or more?
That is correct.
Okay, and it is the position of the chair of the committee, this new version?
That this, in the event that the council would agree to override their committee report, that then this would be the plan that would be adopted for the city districts.
Okay, discussion on the amendment. John Menninger?
A question for Corporation Council again. I was under the assumption that the whole city council had weighed in on this. Obviously, they haven't. I thought they were speaking. I remember seeing something that they came out, the vote was like 13-1 or whatever. So I guess maybe my impression is wrong, too. Later on, okay, if I would withdraw my second here and you could just pass the county plan or something, later on at the end of 60 days, if we had a something from the mayor, or he hasn't weighed in on this at all, or the city council, and they expressed almost unanimous sentiment for this, is that the type of tweak we could do later?
Well, you can take feedback from the city, and again, the city is in an unusual situation that they are self-contained, and so what is done in the city doesn't necessarily affect the rest of the county as long as the numbers remain within in our deviation range.
Okay, so
the answer is yes, you could tweak it at some later point. Following their 60-day period, they have to take action, but...
I'm going to withdraw my second and hope that the city gets...
I think Vicki Burke will tell us you can't do that at this point, right, Vicki? Because it's on the floor, you don't have the...
I ask unanimous consent to withdraw my second. That you can do, I know that.
You can do anything by unanimous consent. Is there any objection to Mr. Menninger withdrawing his second?
Yes.
All right.
That's a
there is an objection,
that's
so...
That's a courtesy. Wait a minute.
Mr. Menninger, you're still of the floor.
Point. Yeah, I understand the rules, and I understand what Vicki Burke's saying. I understand what the County Supervisor Cotter is doing. But even though Supervisor Burke is correct that the body owns the second, there's some courtesies that are extended, too. And I ask unanimous consent to withdraw my second. I think that's a courtesy that should be granted.
You can vote on it.
What you're saying is that he could move to be allowed to withdraw a second?
Yeah, that can be a motion.
Mr. Menninger, do you move to withdraw your second?
Yes.
Mr. Menninger moves to withdraw a second. Is there a second to allowing him to move? Second by Brad Kankel. All in favor of allowing Mr. Menninger to withdraw a second, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Passes unanimously. His second is withdrawn. Is there a second to Ms. Cotter's amendment at this time? Is there a second to Ms. Cotter's amendment? Seconded by Vicki Burke. Pardon? Well, we just did. I learned in Madison you can do anything you want. All right. Any further discussion on the amendment? Sharon Hampson.
I'm still confused. We have this green sheet on our desk dated May 18th. Says that the committee voted 4-0. Now, did the chair vote for this plan of 15 or greater districts?
Is that a question you're asking?
It's a question I'm asking anybody because I don't know anything about the city redistricting committee. During this process, they seem to have occurred and then disappeared and then reoccurred and then disappeared. When did they meet? Where are their minutes? How can the chair of the committee, if this was a unanimous vote for 15, then ask Audrey Cotter to substitute their plan of 13? I think this is just crazy.
Does anybody have the answer to that? Andrea Richmond, do you have the answer to that as a council member?
Well, see now, I was there and the meeting was at 5:30 yesterday. The only discussion and the only vote was to get the message to the county board that they would like 15 or greater. There was absolutely no discussion on substituting that city's plan that was not in the discussion. Not at all. And I hope everybody knows that and turns that down. The city council, when it comes back to them, can amend it, change it to 15 council members, redraw some lines, buy whatever the wards are. But there was absolutely, and I can tell you, no discussion on any approval of that city's plan that Mr. Becker, who is the chairman, keeps giving notes to Ms. Cotter on what to say. I'm sorry, that is not appropriate. Thank you.
John Menninger.
I call the question on this motion.
Any objection to closing debate on the amendment? Seeing Two objections. Is there further discussion on the amendment then? Okay, we'll vote on the amendment. All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The ayes, please raise your hand. The ayes would be Audrey Cotter. Any other ayes? Okay, that the amendment fails. We are back on the resolution. And to go back to my list, Ralph, Gary, I had you next.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, Bill, after tonight, this tweaking, you said at some point in time, within the 60 days, La Crosse could come up with a plan for 13, and we could substitute it at before it gets, when, you know, when it comes back to us in 60 days. If they come up with a plan of 13 within their boundaries, is that debatable then, or is the city's boundary set tonight then?
Well, if they can provide you with some input on where those lines should be, but you know, the kind of answer to Mr. Doyle's question earlier, as long as it doesn't affect any other municipality and does not change the number of supervisory districts, you are basically locked into 29 tonight. So that's off the table after tonight.
So actually, there's two pieces of the puzzle. One, the city of La Crosse. We put that piece of the puzzle in and get some kind of... The other piece of the puzzle actually would be everything outside the city of La Crosse. There were multiple plans like 29, 1, 2, 3, whatever. I wasn't on the committee, but I've seen them hanging on the board. So somebody from the areas outside the city of La Crosse, and I remember one plan, I think, failed 7-5. I mean, I got there late. Was it 29-3 or 2? Or, you know, you got to, for that to be substituted in the out county, which obviously if you change something in West Salem, would probably affect Hamilton or Farmington or something, depending on where the district is. Then would those municipalities have to agree to it, or how would that work? Well, you said something would start a chain reaction around all the, would all the municipalities affected then have to agree?
No, again, it's the board's plan.
Right.
You have to remember that it's your plan. They have to use their best efforts to comply with your plan. So they have to come up with wards where wards are required, and that's the population over 1,000 or greater. They have to come up with wards, and you know, in answer to your question, I mean, once you start, and Ron and Jeff can answer this probably more from a technical point, but once you start moving blocks, census blocks around out there, there's going to be a domino effect. So you don't really want to do that.
No, I don't want to move the lines. I'm saying there were plans already drawn with the lines on them. There were multiple plans.
I mean, it's the same problem. We are giving to these municipalities a plan that you pass, and that's the plan that they are counting on that they will conform to. So you can't all of a sudden give them a different plan with different lines. That will not work.
Right. I mean...
The answer is no, don't do it.
Okay, yeah, well.
Is that clear?
I live in the city of La Crosse, and that plan, I guess, was already voted on.
The city of La Crosse is a little bit different because they're self-contained.
Right.
But, you know, other than, you know, a kind of a moving 25, you know, a small block here to some, you know, that you can switch one to the other without messing up anybody else, maybe you could do that. But it's very minimal as to what you can do.
The last factor, and this does not affect me, of the reapportionment committee was where the incumbents live.
Right.
And I do not live in the out county, but I think we created three. Did we create three districts without an incumbent in them in the outside the city of La Crosse? Is Jeff or somebody here? Or Ron?
Got it here somewhere.
Okay. Jeff can yet. Okay. Round together. No, I'm asking Jeff. Do you understand the question?
Could you repeat it, please?
Well, the last factor, you know, we wanted to get equal population, on that PowerPoint said incumbent or whatever. On the plan is currently, and I'm talking about the areas outside the city of La Crosse, is there three new districts?
The current plan of 35 has 17 in the city and 18 in
Of 29.
I'm painting you guys a picture here. So there's 18 supervisors in the out county right now. Under the 29 plan, it's dropping to 16. So you're losing
two. 18
In the 29 plan that's up for discussion tonight, the 2901, there are two vacancies, and that's in 18 and 19.
Two districts without an incumbent in them.
That's correct.
Under this plan, this is 29-1.
That's correct.
I'm just trying to say something to get more concerned. Under 29-2 or 3, was that the same scenario, or was it different?
Under 29-2, there was one vacancy, and that was in the 21st. We didn't have a three.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
All right, Vicki Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I share the frustration that Supervisor Ferries stated, because it seems to me that if by waiting till this evening to make the final decision that, and then we are being told that you really cannot amend it as far as the number, that perhaps why then didn't we, after the public hearing on Monday, take an opportunity at that time to make any amendments so that there would have been sufficient time for changes prior to tonight's meeting. I'm frustrated with the having it organized in that way, because at the previous planning meeting, Supervisor Friedland asked specifically about being able to change the number, and was not told that that was not. I listened to the tape today specifically, and twice on that tape during the meeting, it was indicated that there could be an amendment to it. And what would be the purpose in having a public hearing on a tentative plan that couldn't be changed at all on the Thursday, when it was going to be voted on? What if 3,000 people had come and wanted a different number? You're saying to me tonight that still wouldn't have made any difference, that we wouldn't have been able to change the number. Is that, am I hearing that correctly, or am I?
Mrs. Burke, I think from, you know, from the planning committee on, in a redistricting committee meeting before that, I said, pick the number. That's the thing that you need to do, and don't change the number. You can change some lines. Now, I think I said that two or three times. Pick the number and stick with it. You know, it's problematic now to change the number, and you know the process has gone on for, well, really months before the 60 days. So, you know, yes, the board could have made a firmer decision earlier, you know, but basically this county board delegated a lot of this redistricting responsibility to the committee. You know, and those certainly were meetings that everybody could have attended. They talked about numbers frequently, and that committee directed Mr. Blusky to department to do three different districts. So, you know, could the process have been done differently? I guess, sure. Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, you know, but I think the message has been clear that you had 60 days, and you're out of 60 days as of tomorrow. So
I'm simply indicating what occurred at the planning meeting.
Sure.
I do I looked at it today. Supervisor Friedland did ask the question and was given a response that indicated that she could.
Well, I think I said the same thing that night that I'm saying tonight, is that you possibly could, but it's problematic. And I think I said it that way.
Okay, and let me make a comment, too, about the committee, the redistricting committee meetings themselves. I know that one time I just kind of stumbled on the fact that the meeting was occurring because I saw it on the board downstairs. And a second time when I found out that there was going to be, I asked that all board members be informed about it, and out of Chairman Doyle's office, they sent the information that they were going to be held. I don't believe that they were noted on the sheets that we usually get that have the committee meetings on it.
Is it?
I will check to be certain on that. But what I can tell you is that I don't think that all supervisors received a slip on the fact that those minutes were.
Terry in my office was the clerk on this because Margaret has enough things to do. So I asked her to cover that, but I would expect that that would have been on the meeting notices.
I'll check. Thank you.
Brad Conkle.
Seeing as we've gotten really hung up on this whole number thing with the 29, and it sounds like we're pretty well set in stone with that, and I haven't heard any additional amendments other than the one that was proposed, I would like to call the question.
No. I'm going to rule that out of order. We have some people that have not talked yet, and I'm not going to cut it off till those people have a chance to talk. So I'm ruling it out of order. Chuck Spiker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been through redistricting in the 80s, the 90s, 2000, and 2010. One time they suckered me into serving on a committee. Now I know why I don't anymore. One thing we left out is the citizens of La Crosse County. Look at the redistricting committee and see how the vote was. All four members of citizen members voted for 29, for a smaller board. I did surveys in every one of these decades in my district, and every time it wanted was a smaller board. Some wanted real small board. They had their reasons, I guess, for it. But one thing we have to listen to as a citizen, what I'd really like to see, and I won't be here in 2020, but I would like to see someday they have a citizen members like they do in the state of Iowa and a lot of other draw these district lines. It take the politics out of it. And I don't think any county in the state of Wisconsin has ever done that. And I wish that in 2020 they would do it, maybe before. But there's another thing. By referendum, the people can decide how many members they want. And if they've done it in other counties in the state of Wisconsin. But I urge you to vote for the redistricting committee to approve this. Thank you very much.
Roger Plesha.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, have been through three of these, and I was on the committee twice. I elected not to be on the committee this time. Now, what happened in the past is everyone came to the table initially. There was no last-minute request. The last two that I was involved in, the table was there, a table was set, the people came to the table. If they wanted an alternative plan, they brought it forward. It didn't happen at the last minute. I don't see what the real problem is here. I see that we've got some people who disagree on the number of people it should be on the city council. But I'll tell you what. This has been a long time of brewing. There have been a lot of people working on this plan, and I don't see that we really need to sit there and rehash it over. And I hope that we vote for the one the county came up with. Thank you.
Dan Ferries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is referring back to Mr. Shepherd's, where he said, made reference to pick a number. As we left here from the plan, I remember hearing distinctly this is a tentative plan here. Well, let's weigh in and let's see how the public weighs in. And the ones that the people we talked about, citizens members, we heard the citizens members the other night. it apparently they don't have a problem with it. There was not one other than the city officials, three from La Crosse, speak out of 114,000. I'd say they're okay with what we're doing. Thank you.
Tina Weirs.
Thank you. I just want to say I respect the work that was put into this, but I feel like out of conscience I have to go on record and say why I will be voting against this resolution. And first and foremost, I think that we can say that we're not going to add work to the remaining, the 29, if we vote for 29. We're not going to add work, but it's six sounds like a small number, but that's six people. That's six people's work, six people's diverse backgrounds that they bring to this body. And I think that, we should have the most that we can, because the most of, we don't have that much diversity on this board. Besides a male and female diversity, we don't have enough diversity. And I personally would argue that adding more work to this board is going to push it towards becoming a career to be on the county board. And then I think we lose touch with some of the public and their, and personally, I guess, I don't see a lot of people on here that have full-time jobs and do this work, because it is a lot of work. And by reducing the size, you increase the workload for the people who are remaining on here. So that's my number one argument against it. I think we should have as much diversity, as much public representation as possible. And right now we have 35, and I disagree with changing that at all. So thank you.
Any further discussion? Maureen Friedland.
I want to ask of corporate counsel what happened in 1980. I wasn't around there. You say it's your advice to go along with this, but what about if we don't go along with it? What do you think realistically? What happened under what circumstances?
Well, in 1980, we didn't have all of the nice computer systems, and various plans were done by hand, so it was kind of an arduous process. If any of you recall Cooch Carroll, he was one of the, I think, the chair of that committee, and they had come up with five different plans, five different tentative plans. They couldn't decide which one to give to the city. So I think in the spirit of trying to, get more involvement for the city, they gave the city five plans, and the city didn't like any of the five plans, had their own plan, and contested the process in circuit court that the county didn't comply with the statute, and frankly we didn't, but the city didn't either. They had some other issues, and so this whole thing was thrown up to the circuit court judge, and the circuit court judge had to select, because it was the process, the appeal process, and all of this was going on toward election time, and we still didn't have a plan that had been fully adopted. So finally, the judge took one of the county plans and made it law. That went to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals said, "Well, yeah, everybody messed up here, but the plan that the circuit judge selected is the one that we're going to continue with." So it was a situation where the statutes weren't strictly followed, and that's my concern, and that's why I've been rather adamant tonight about sticking with the plan that you've got and proceeding, with perhaps minor boundary changes. That's the scenario that occurred back then.
Okay, thank you, and I respect that. If we did vote this down tonight, though, and someone put up an amendment for 31 or for 35, and we voted on that, we wouldn't be in exactly the same similar situation as in 1980. We would have a plan. We would just be breaking some time limitation, maybe by a day or something like that. That would be the risk.
I still think that you need to, that the city of La Crosse, there has been no cohesive decision made by the city of La Crosse. You can hear from the discussion tonight from the council members. So we don't know what the city of La Crosse is going to be in favor of, but you pretty much can guess that they don't like the 29. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And they will use any legal basis that they can. If a majority of of the council wants to contest our plan to try to get it overthrown in circuit court. So by not adhering to the 60-day time limit, you give them an excellent legal basis to challenge our plan. So that's why I'm saying you can't go beyond 5 p.m. tomorrow night. And if you choose a different number tonight, you will be my suggestion, the only way to handle that problem would be to immediately have our clerk send a notice out tonight. We are prepared to do that. I don't think it's the best way to go, because you haven't and will not be able to give adequate 24 hours notice. So that's why I don't suggest that process.
Question?
Sure.
I've been told that for 15, if we went with this green reapportionment committee for 15, that would mean that we would have to have a 31 person county board to be coterminous. Am I wrong on that?
That would more than that.
Or
35 is 33 or 34
in order to do the 15 coterminous with the city.
And we don't have either of those plans. I mean, literally, you're asking, if you would do that, you would be asking Jeff's staff to work all night trying to do this, and there's you know, a greater likelihood of mistakes and problems. So if you wanted to have that discussion, it should have been quite a while ago, frankly.
Well, or last week at policy planning, nobody made a motion to change from 29. That would have been the time to do it, was last week at policy planning. I have Don Vina and Bill Feehan. Is there anybody else? Audrey Cott or Arlene Benrood. Okay, those are the ones I have. So, Don Vina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wasn't going to say anything. I didn't volunteer to be on the committee, but I guess if I would have seen that you dropped the numbers substantially, you would have heard a lot more from me. The problem I have is sort of what Vicki Burke talked about here a few minutes ago. You know, about 3 weeks ago, I went up to a Wisconsin County's Ag Advisory Committee meeting in Stevens Point, and we talked about redistricting. And just about everybody sitting around a table, and there were about 15 of them there, barring three, had their plans pretty put together 3 weeks ago already. Now we come, we can't make changes, we're in a box. I don't like being on the county board as a supervisor when you guys put us in a box. You could have scheduled these meetings 3-4 weeks ago.
Mr. Vina.
Finish the conclusions, and then let's have legitimate discussion. Now we're up the creek without a paddle, and I don't like being in a position like that. And that's where we're at now. You're telling us about 5 times already.
Mr. Vina, I'd like to make sure that you understand that this plan was adopted by the redistricting committee on April 26, 2011. So it hasn't been done just in the last day.
But we left it go for a final decision until the last day. There's my problem.
Well,
we could have done this 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago.
Certainly the chair can correct me, but I believe that the dates for all of this were told to the county board, you know, some time ago. And
we got them a while back. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
But you let me go until the last minute.
It's not me, sir. I don't set dates around here.
Bill Feehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank Mr. Blesky and the county staff and all the people that participated on the redistricting committee for their hard work. And I know they put a lot of time into this. And as a supervisor who's in the city of La Crosse, tonight I'll be voting for this plan, respecting that process, and quite possibly voting myself out of a job here. But this is the will of the people of La Crosse County, that we reduce the size of this board. We took this vote a week ago Monday, and as people have noted, the public seems okay with that. We didn't see a hue and outcry at the public hearing on Monday opposing this plan. I think it's a good plan, and as a supervisor who's in the city of La Crosse, I recognize that population has shifted out of the city of La Crosse, and that's a big part of what's driving these changes. So while I may be voting myself out of my district, I respect the process, and I urge the other supervisors to vote for it.
Arlene Bendred.
Thank you, Chairman. I've been on the board 20 years, and 10 years ago we added one supervisor. And I think this came to the full county board like 1 month ago, and I think it should have come, if you weren't on the committee, you didn't have any of that knowledge or didn't have any of that information. And I think it's something that should have been brought to the full county board so that we could think or make a decision. I thought this was on fast track. But I'd like Mr. Kyle to get three supervisors and three offices, and I'm going to apply for one of the jobs. Thank you.
Tara Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two redistrictings for me, since we're all keeping tabs and noting our history here. One redistricting committee, this one. I think it is a good plan, and I think the crick that we are up without a paddle is actually a fine crick that we're up. The plan that we are asking your support for is one that did come out of months of work, as has been noted, and I appreciate comments made by several supervisors who did not serve on the committee. It is a good plan that reflects one person, one vote, 29 districts in this county. It reflects shifting in population, as others have noted. And I remember very clearly Chairman Doyle sitting at the front of this room at the planning meeting 10 days ago saying, if you are not able to support the tentative plan, that is called tentative because it won't be final until we've been through the next sets of 60 days, just so everybody understands that. But if you are not able to support the tentative plan, then you need to come back with an alternate plan. And I remember very clearly him saying, if you aren't okay with 29, then you need to have a plan and a replacement map and that work done, or we can't do anything with it. And so the frustration or the concern that people have sitting here on the 59th day of a 60-day process, I feel bad for you, but I think we have done everything right, and we have made it very clear what our choices would be this evening when we are being asked to take this vote. I think that has been made very clear all the way along, and I encourage everyone to support this plan.
Any further discussion? I don't have anybody else on the list. Any further discussion? All right, the resolution in front of you is as originally introduced put on the floor by Ms. Johnson. If you are in favor of that, vote yes. If you are opposed, vote no. While those votes are coming in, remember that you need to fill out this form that was on your desk tonight, which has the information for the directory. Please do not leave tonight unless you have filled this out. Probably important. The resolution is passed on a vote of 26-7. I assume that's it for you, Ms. Johnson, on redistricting. Suggestions for future agenda topics, Ray Ebert.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like you to put on the about the Historical Society funds being distributed.
We will do that. I think that's a good suggestion.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other suggestions for future agenda topics? Two things I want to mention. Number one, if you're interested in the City-County Housing Task Force, try to let us know tonight if possible. Let Ginny know. And secondly, best wishes to Brad Conkle for his future, and thanks for being with us. Anybody have anything else? I guess that gets us to Jerry Sobranek.
Thank you, Assemblyman Doyle. You know, I haven't the slightest idea on how to change people, but I still keep a long list of prospective candidates just in case I should ever figure it out.
Is that a motion to adjourn, Mr. Sobranek?
10-4.
Moved by Mr. Sobranek to adjourn, second by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. Good night, everyone.